Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, the 23rd day of October, 2012 edition. I am your host, Alex Jones, and we're going to be here for the next 3 hours today. And we are going to be breaking down the fact that there is election fraud looming from both political parties in different ways. A lot of that is now showing up on the radar screen. We're going to be breaking that down today some. I got Bev Harris of Black Box Voting joining us tomorrow. We are also going to be looking at the debate last night. Even though both men are bought and paid for by the globalist, it's important to look at what they're saying and what they're planning to do. Kind of like the debate last week with Obama and Romney. Obama said, yeah, I don't want to just ban your rifles, your semi-autos. I'm going to ban your handguns, too. And I'm going to come after your guns, and I'm going to put people on psychological list extrajudicially. So we already knew that, but it's good to see the little tidbits and nuggets we get out of those events. So we're going to be breaking all of that down here. There's also a Business Insider report and video that we have up at Infowars.com. And it's just a minute and a half video. We're going to play it coming up in the next segment, pointing out that Obama and Romney agree on so many things that it makes your head spin. So we're going to be breaking that down a bit today. I've got to say, just being honest, Obama barely won the debate last night with zingers and jokes and things. And I think that Mitt Romney really laid down to a great extent. The Republicans began spinning it that, well, you know, what really happened here with this is that Romney was looking more presidential. Well, that's why they say Obama lost the first debate, because he was quiet and not combative and basically let Romney run over him. Obama was also doing the point one, point two, point three thing where they go through a bunch of points that impresses the sheeple. Overall, I had to walk out during the last 20 minutes of it. For whatever reason, I was becoming nauseated during it. For whatever reason. I mean, maybe it was dinner. I don't know. But I felt nauseated and went into the children's playroom. They tend to congregate in my younger daughter's room. And they were in there listening to a book on tape. And I went in there and listened to that. I mean, I could not watch the rest of it. I thought, I've got to duck out of here and get out of here. And I know why I started getting nauseated. Because it was like living in the Matrix or something. Or going to a fun house where you walk over a gangplank and they've got a big cylinder spinning around you. And no matter what you do, you get dizzy. I mean, it was that effect, because everything was based on a tissue of lies. And they were debating within a universe of lies, basically rearranging deck chairs in a virtual reality, on a virtual Titanic. And it was just ridiculous to hear him talk about how they were fighting Al-Qaeda, and how they've got to go after Assad and Al-Qaeda. And Obama did add a few provisos, because he knows this is coming out. Well, we don't want to arm the wrong groups in Syria. Well, that's who they're arming. That's the main force, is Al-Qaeda. So they're already acting like, oh, we didn't know we armed the wrong groups. So that a year from now, 2 years from now, when the 10,000 missiles they got out of Libya, 2,000 of them heat-seeking or radar-guided, start blowing airliners out of the sky, well, they can say, oh, boy, we didn't know they got it. And then the media will, of course, cover all that up. So that's coming up. It's just a giant broadcast today, and we're going to attempt to go over all of it. Straight ahead on the other side of this quick break, I'm Alex Jones. The news websites are PrisonPlanet.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. I haven't even gotten to the top story yet. We'll cover that when we come back.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at is good and evil, right and wrong.
A new world order.
A new world order. A new world order.
Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, we're here. Live, I'm your host, Alex Jones. We come back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. for the Sunday radio transmission. And every weeknight, 7 o'clock, InfoWars Nightly News at InfoWarsNews.com. And thanks to listeners and their support. With a 48-hour broadcast last week, moving on to the different satellite systems worldwide here in the next 3 to 6 months. We're getting it all geared up right now. Again, I want to thank all of you out there for spreading the word about the broadcast. All of you out there. In media, in the general public, all of you who have supported this transmission in different ways, our success in getting the word out is to a great extent due to you and also the great crew in there and the job they do. Again, if you just joined us, I'm Alex Jones. I'm a constitutionalist who loves freedom. And I am simply here to try to defend our republic and to restore our republic and to kick the private Federal Reserve out of our country and to get due process back and to end, or at least curtail, the massive crony capitalism or monopoly capitalism going on where inside mega banks and others go in and buy off our governments and then have governments pay our tax money to them in bailouts and have those governments shut down their competition in a planned economy. So that's basically what I stand against, and I want everybody to have prosperity. I want this country to continue to be the greatest nation the world's ever seen. But to do that, we've got to get our republic back from the clutches of the New World Order that is using us as a giant military force and economic force to dominate the planet. If you want to take over the world, you've got to control the United States, and that's why so many powerful interest have come in over the last 50, 60 years and infiltrated the institutions and taken them over. And now we've reached the point of serious rot setting in and the corrupt elites being able to get away with basically anything they want. And so we are hurtling like a out-of-control freight train down a mountainside right now. And if you think things have gotten crazy so far, strap yourselves in. You ain't seen nothing yet. Okay, where are we going today here? I do want to open the phones up about the debate last night. I want to open the phones up about geopolitical developments, things that are happening. Watching the debate, hearing both men talk about how we've got to fight Al-Qaeda in the Middle East. And they would both talk about fighting Al-Qaeda. And then they would say, we've got to deal with Syria, we've got to deal with Iran. Knowing the general public thinks Syria and Iran are Al-Qaeda, when one is a secular government and the other is a Shiite government, both historical enemies of Al-Qaeda based out of Saudi Arabia and the Sunnis. And I'm not bashing 80% of Muslims happen to be Sunni, but that's where that Wahhabist sect comes from. And it's run by Saudi intelligence and British intelligence, and that's on record. And so I literally got nauseated watching the debate because my brain was going a million miles an hour during it because it was like people debating virtual reality or all these games they've got where kids go and adults go and actually pay money for Lamborghinis and mansions in imaginary worlds. And they go and meet at physical parties and, the gorgeous woman, I've seen this in the news, goes and tries to pick up the nerd because he's got the Lamborghini in the mansion or is a movie star, you know, in the virtual reality. I mean, that's what goes on. My son, who goes to different homeschool events and academies and groups, more and more, he says all they talk about are these virtual realities that they live in, and he just can't stand it. I mean, he's reading adult history books. He's reading books on, you know, quantum mechanics, and he's a tough little, you know, jock type guy, and it's not like he's some bookworm. He recognizes that it's totally false, and he says, I want to be around adults. I could take him to adult cocktail parties where other people bring their children and have him around billionaires and rocket scientists and, you know, people. And they absolutely sit around and have conversations with him. He doesn't want to hang around with other 10-year-olds. But it's not just that. They don't want to go play in the woods in a fort. They don't want to wrestle. They want to talk about video games. My mother teaches Sunday school. And I see it in restaurants. When kids don't have their video games, they will sit there and imagine that they're playing. And there's major studies out. Been a couple in the last month where video games are lowering IQ, reducing the cognitive abilities, and rewiring brains, where you've got like a mentally ill chicken. They've done Pavlovian Skinnerian test with a chicken over a few years where it pecks at a, you know, tic-tac-toe grid and grain comes out. And if you take that chicken out of there after just 6 months or a year, depending on the study of doing that, it can't stop pecking and imagining a tic-tac-toe grid on the wall, and sometimes will just starve, even if there's food right next to it, because it just keeps pecking the wall. And I mean, I see these kids. I mean, the children are wrecks, ladies and gentlemen, just wrecks. And that's upper middle class kids. You go see inner city kids and people, I mean, they look like brain damaged zombies, white, black, Hispanic, doesn't matter. The system is just killing everyone. The GMO, the dyes, the additives, the television, the video games. People are now being inserted into the matrix. All the auto accidents, I see it. People can't stop texting while they're driving. I see it everywhere. Some woman last night as I'm driving down a country road pulls out in front of me, stops in a road. I'm going 50 miles an hour. I see her way up ahead. She pulls out, stops, and as I get closer, I start applying the brakes. She's looking at her phone, and I barely stopped in time, and then she just looked at me like a zombie, gave me a dirty look, and then just drove on. And, I mean, I would have T-boned her, folks, in my big, giant truck going 50. I mean, she'd have been in bad shape if I hadn't seen her. She would have been in bad, bad, bad shape. And I'm telling you, she was in Zombo world. You see the report, people walking off cliffs, people walking into fountains, people walking into traffic. Richard Reeves, for years, drives cabs, works here in the office, and I've been a truck driver before that. And Reeves said, oh, yeah, people all the time downtown would just walk out in the middle of traffic and be hit by cars in front of him. And he said one time a guy got hit not very hard, fell down and just kept looking at his phone and got up stumbling around. And that's what that debate was targeting. So-called politically aware people, that, you know, that 23% that read newspapers that think they're real informed, they were tuning in, and it was just, it was like watching people debate the different virtual reality video games they play. It's like, man, I don't want that. I don't want the fantasy woman. I don't want the fantasy house. I don't want the fantasy car. You understand? I want the real thing. And that's why I've likened sports, not playing sports, that's great, but obsessing on it and saying, oh, when Lance Armstrong, and then I'll get to the top news, when Lance Armstrong got defrocked yesterday, I meant to get into it, I heard local talk show hosts saying, man, it sure felt good for Austin having those seven Tour de France's. I mean, Lance Armstrong, I know Lance Armstrong very well from multiple people very close to me that have had a chance to be around him quite a bit. I'll just leave it at that. Through a couple twists of fate, multiple people with multiple connections. And he is literally an egomaniac demon monster. And as he's been falling, I haven't talked about that. Or the fact that he hates me and calls me the effing conspiracy nuthead. And I mean, that's a quote. And I got that from multiple sources, not from my family. People bring me up to Lance Armstrong. The cussing begins. I was talking to somebody about how when he went for one of these celebrity shows to pick up his custom car, that had been given to him for free, all the cussing and yelling at Sheryl Crow and the rest of it. We're talking about a maniac psycho, okay? Probably psycho, definitely egomaniac, somewhat sadistic, totally domineering. What's the proper term for him? He's not a psychopath. Definitely a sociopath. But I don't revel and get off on watching him fall. But to hear these talk show hosts that have defended him because their ego's tied up in it, now reveling in watching him fall, that's disgusting too. I don't get off on watching Lance Armstrong fall. Makes me feel bad for the species. And then I hear the arguments, well, there's so many lessons in this. Well, everybody at the top's blood doping and taking roids and taking all these other things. I mean, you got to do it to win. Well, see, that's how society gets corrupt. Hey, everybody cheats on their wife. Hey, everybody cheats on their husband. Well, even if some of that goes on, it doesn't mean you're supposed to be proud of it. You see what I'm saying? And you know, oh, everybody doesn't spend time with their kids, lets them watch TV all day. Oh, everybody takes Prozac. Oh, everybody eats GMO. Oh, everybody's dying of cancer. Oh, that's just the way it is. It's this attitude. Just give in to it. Just go with it. So that went on and on. And I was thinking about Lance Armstrong now, just watching people celebrate the fall of Lance Armstrong. I mean, that's the type of thing you see in a civilization that's just absolutely rotting, where people don't feel good about themselves. And so when they see somebody who's big fall, they get off on it. Taking a bunch of drugs to win a competitive sport, if he would have just been lying about that and being arrogant about that, I wouldn't dislike Lance Armstrong so much. It's knowing everything about him and knowing how he dominated other people. It's like a Schwarzenegger type. That's what I don't like. But here's the rest of the story. You know, it's come out that the entire, you know, big international cycling organizations that he was involved with helped cover it up, and he had lots of positives. It's just that when he was going up, they didn't want to let it come out then. They destroyed him later after it came out to have their cake and eat it too. So this is more of burning some little demons so the big devil looks good. You have found it, my friends, the tip of the spear when it comes to the fight for basic liberties against the globalist. I am your host, Alex Jones. Okay, I digressed off into Lance Armstrong, but I've been meaning to talk about him for days, so I've made my point about that. Only because you can take a big mainstream hype story and then use it to illustrate other things that are happening in society, like, hey, everything's corrupt. Go ahead and go with it. Or how they didn't want to expose his cheating when he was making cycling billions of dollars. But now they can destroy him after. I mean, the examples just go on and on. Or how these egomaniacs, the greater, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Because they're in it for the wrong thing. Now, I haven't gotten to our top story yet. It's up at drudgereport.com, the left-hand side, and amongst all the other amazing debate news. It is a Infowars.com story. If you go to Infowars.com and go to the featured news area, you can see two articles that break this down, both by Paul Watson, to tie together. Obama supporters continue threats to riot, assassinate Romney. That's the headline. Obama supporters continue threats to riot, assassinate Romney. And this time, Watson, I don't know, gives like 30 examples and links to a bunch of others where the people say, I'm going to hunt Romney down and I'm going to kill him, close quotes. I'm going to shove a shotgun in his mouth and blow his head off. I'm going to come to the next campaign event and kill him. I mean, it's just off the charts. In fact, some of these were so explicit, Paul told me he wasn't even adding them for whatever reason. I said, no, I want those in there. So there it is. I want people to see this and understand what's going on. Again, even if you don't support Romney, this is an amazing double standard. I will assure you, if conservatives or libertarians or constitutionalists were saying anything like this about Obama, there would be arrest all over the news. It would be national news right now. And it's not. 2 weeks ago, when the Drudge Report started linking to our stories, George Soros-controlled White House-run Think Progress and others, I mean, literally the White House has their transition chief in there, began writing articles implying it wasn't even true or that we were racist. And Slimeball, Chris Pumpkins, he is on CNBC or MSNBC, MSNBC running around. I have an article here today saying it is racist not to vote for Obama. So if I don't want to turn my guns in, I'm racist. If I don't like government running health care written by the insurance companies, I'm racist. If I don't want completely open borders, I'm racist. If I don't want world government, I'm racist. If I don't want to put Al-Qaeda into Libya and Syria, I'm racist. If I want freedom and states' rights, I'm racist. I'm sick of it. You're the people that talk about race all day. I walked into a gas station last night and they had MSNBC on with Al Sharpton saying, it isn't about Obama, it's about your mama. And he was, you know, then it cut back to him on the show talking about how you're racist if you don't vote for Obama. These people, that's all they do is invoke race. And then that will create racism because people are designed to be tribal. And if they're hearing all day how they're racist, a lot of people that aren't sophisticated will start becoming racist because of people that race pimp all day. In fact, here it is. Breaking it down, post-debate, MSNBC's Matthews claims Romney supporters fueled by racial hatred of Obama. Really, I'd love to have a black president that got rid of all the gun laws and got rid of the private Federal Reserve. Man, you could have an all-black cabinet. You could have everybody. Seriously, I could get as if white people on average, you know, don't like Obama because he's black. How about white people I know and black people I know and everybody else I know who's not a complete idiot don't like Obama because of what he stands for? But here's the bigger issue. They are literally, folks, Obama supporters in overdrive saying they're going to riot and kill people. And sure, most morons that are going to get online and say they're going to kill the presidential candidate are so stupid, they're probably not very motivated. I mean, they're probably pretty darn lazy, and they think it's just trash talk like you can do about some, you know, non-governor or non-president type person. But the Secret Service has now confirmed they are, quote, visiting these people. Well, I want to say this. They need to be arrested. Because if I said something like this, or if I was just a private citizen, because I've seen it, I've seen private citizen conservatives say that, you know, Romney, you know, was a great guy, basically, and Obama needs to be taken out, close quotes, and the Secret Service comes and puts them in jail. Puts them in jail. We had a listener posting, it was years ago, on the message board, they were going to kill Bush. And the Secret Service went and arrested them in Tennessee, and it was on the news. Listeners sent me the newspaper where it was all, you know, on Alex Jones' show did this. Secret Service came and arrested him. And I think he got 7 years in prison for saying he was going to go after Bush. So these people need to be arrested, or it's discriminatory, and it's saying Democrats are allowed to call for murder and mayhem. That's why this is a big issue.
I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm a guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Well, like I said, we're getting between 5 and 10 new affiliates every week or so. And in the last couple days, we've got KDKT 1410 AM in North Dakota, KDKT 1410 AM North Dakota, and KINA 910 AM in Salina, Kansas. This is written so small here, I don't want to say the name of the town in beautiful North Dakota wrong. KDKT 1410 AM in Beulah. How do you pronounce that? To show my ignorance. Beulah, is that right? What? Beulah, North Dakota. Well, whatever. We're on there, so very, very exciting. And a lot of other affiliates here. The affiliate list is starting to get very, very long, very, very exciting. And it's also kind of scary. Funny, that you know, the New World Order coming after me doesn't really scare me, or the national media demonizing me doesn't scare me. But yours truly screwing up with an audience this big, that's what scares me. It's very, very humbling. But I guess that's good. I've seen so many other people get a little bit of power, and they just go crazy and start getting real reckless. I see that a lot. People just destroy themselves when they finally start having success. My dad, the older I get, I realize how much good advice he gave me. You know, he said, big fish eat little fish. He said, you got to watch the little ones, though, that have nothing to lose. He, of course, also said so many people he's known, right when they start having success, destroy themselves. And I guess it's the difference between being God-fearing and not being God-fearing. Okay, that's enough. Let's just stop right there. This is a big deal. I mean, I've been attacked, no exaggeration, along with Matt Drudge of DrudgeReport.com, I don't know, more than 15 different publications. I wasn't even looking for these articles, and I saw them saying that we were basically evil and horrible racist because we were covering literally thousands of tweets and Facebook posts and YouTube videos with real accounts saying they were going to kill Mitt Romney if he wins and or riot and or both. And the Secret Service has gone and, quote, questioned these people. I've gotten emails of people being picked up by the Secret Service, like going, hey, Alex, they are responding. But that was before it was confirmed in the news. I got several emails going, no, they took my brother to jail, but they've now released him. So it looks like they're doing something. But I'm here to tell you, if a conservative threatened George W. Bush, which did happen, they went and arrested him, and he spent 7 years in prison, or got 7 years last time I checked. That was like 6 years ago. I guess the guy's about to get out or has already got out. I just saw the newspaper article about his conviction. Other people I know that have mildly shot their mouths off about Obama have gotten Secret Service visits with them screaming at them. Screaming at them. I mean, you've heard callers who mildly, you know, said, yeah, I put on my, you know, website, my little Facebook, yeah, too bad that when, you know, Obama and George Soros were over there at Davos, both of them didn't just fall off the edge of the earth, close quote. Secret Service came, drug them in, screamed at them. So my point is, why are these Obama supporters allowed to do this by the thousands and threaten to riot? Because if I said, I'm going to riot, that's me saying, I'm going to commit a crime. I'm going to go out and burn some things down. That's not free speech. That is premeditated statement of the intent to commit a crime. And there's state and federal laws out the yin-yang to stop that. And it's all selectively enforced. It's like going back 15 years ago or longer, I had several stalkers who were saying, we're going to come and kill you. And some of them would publicly say it. And I would call the police, and I went in and saw an Austin detective. And the detectives were like, well, we don't know if he's really serious about that, Alex. And I've got a lot of stuff to do. And don't you, you know, have a Second Amendment? And then when the people started talking about my sister and knowing where she went to high school, she's 14 years younger than me. You know, I was already on the air and everything. And, you know, she was in high school. Then I had to file suit to stop it. And the courts did do something. You know, civil, you can get a lot of stuff done. So I have some experience with this. And I just happen to know that you can do this to private citizens and get away with it, but you can't get away with it with governors and senators and judges and the president. So I want to know why the media either says this doesn't exist or says I'm racist to cover it when this is a news story. I mean, look, we covered people with threats to Obama when he was running for president. I mean, that's something you cover. And I wasn't accused of being anti-white because I was saying I didn't want anybody to assassinate Obama. By the way, the last thing I want is for Obama to get assassinated. That would turn this horrible demon, this globalist miscreant, into a hero and a martyr. Same reason the globalists see me as a horrible person and a horrible, you know, demon they want to get. But they're a little hesitant to kill me or set me up because they know my nose is pretty darn clean. A, B, it will highlight everything I've said and done. But enough about that. Here are the articles. They're both up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Obama supporters continue threats to riot, assassinate Romney. Secret Service attention fails to dampen violent Twitter comments. Now, that story's up at DrudgeReport.com. On the left-hand side, we've also got the new article out, which I forgot to print, guys. Will you print me the latest articles? Up at Infowars.com. Thank you. Establishment plays race card to bury violent threats by Obama supporters. And there's also, you know, we haven't played this card yet because I tend to shy away from it, but I'm gonna call Watson up right now. There are racial components towards Romney. And you know what? I'm tired of being called a racist when I'm not. So we're going to go ahead and put that shoe on the other foot. I guess I got to have Nimmo or Adan Salazar or Aaron Dykes or Melissa Melton or one of our in-house people cover this. But I'm going to call Paul Watson right now in England, right now on speakerphone here. See if he answers. And sounds like a Pink Floyd song. you know, hey, Watson, I got you live on air. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, I just thought of an angle here. You got Chris Matthews and everybody running around saying it's racist to talk about the rioting threats and the threats against Romney. And we've got media, as you know, in the last few weeks saying it's, you know, racist to point all this out or that it doesn't exist. I saw a bunch of racial epithets towards Romney, Republicans, and whites in general. Why don't you, I know you've done two articles on this today, but I mean, why not just go all the way? I mean, they want to say we're racist when we're not raising racial issues. Why not point out that there are racial epithets, or epithets, whatever you call them, being thrown? I mean, you can find them right there. I was looking just through them this morning and found a bunch. Why not go there? I mean, since we're being accused of it, why not point out that methinks they are protesting too much? How's that sound?
Oh, there's definitely those kind of terms. I mean, some of them are included in my article where they're referred to.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're included in your article. What were you saying, guys? Oh, hold the phone closer. You can't hear Watson. Where is the speaker on this? It's right here. Watson, go ahead and talk to everybody.
Yeah, I'm just saying there were some of those in my article this morning, but there's a lot of references to the term cracker referred to Romney or Romney supporters in the tweet.
No, I know. It's worse than that. And listen, you held back the stuff, all the premeditated stuff where they laid out how they're going to kill him. Put that in there. Listen.
No, I didn't hold it back. I just didn't find it until later on. That's in the second article.
Okay, it's in the second article. Well, listen, tell you what, let's just get you on air right now. We're going to call your Skype right now so we can discuss this on air, okay?
All right.
Okay, go to your Skype right now. Guys, just get him on Skype right now. Thank you. I mean, I'm tired of this. Listen, 9 times out of 10, we're holding back, okay? And that's what I've told my writers. Just go with what the truth is. We're going to be accused of exaggerating. Let them have it, okay? Stop holding back. Okay, we're going to be accused. If we said the sky was blue, they'd say we were exaggerating. So just say the sky's blue, okay? Anyways, those articles are up there, and I want to know your take on this, the toll-free number to join us. I mean, are we wrong to point these out as a news organization? I mean, obviously we're not. We would be censoring if we didn't cover this. And there you go. I mean, he links to some of them in there where they make the racial comments, but my issue is the left always says it's okay to be racist towards white people. And then that's what creates a culture of racism because they don't call it racism. And then white people start seeing blacks as racist, and then that creates racism. See, it's divide and conquer. We have to call this racism out so it's not acceptable, so that it doesn't cause more division. I'm covering this to try to stop this division, and I want to try to get people on the liberal plantation to realize it's a plantation. Like the Native American Russell Means said, the left loved him until about 10 years ago when he woke up at the Federal Reserve, the New World Order, started supporting the Constitution, Bill of Rights, found out it was inspired by a bunch of Eastern North American and Canadian tribes. And as soon as Russell Means started talking like that, boy, the left turned against him. Because when you realize it's about putting you on a plantation, it's about putting you on a reservation, that doesn't mean the Republicans are any different. I mean, last night we sat there. Do we have that clip? Let's play that clip out of Business Insider. The article is up at Infowars.com. Where, and this is just some of the examples, where Romney kept agreeing with Obama and Obama with him because they're both globalist puppets. And again, they kept talking about the threat of al-Qaeda when the West is arming al-Qaeda and putting them in Libya and Syria. And I told you a year ago when they killed Gaddafi, I said, you watch, within a year to two, I said 2 years, actually. I said within a year and a half, 2 years. You can look it up. I said they're going to be bombing in Libya and invading again to take out al-Qaeda, and the media won't point out our own government put al-Qaeda in. Well, it happened quicker than I thought. Within less than a year, they're now got drones and stuff in there attacking, quote, al-Qaeda. I mean, this is ridiculous. People are like, well, you know, that's how the policy works. Destabilize the Muslims. Destabilize the Muslims? Even if you're a Muslim hater and you're ignorant and bigoted like that out there and buy into all this Islamophobia stuff that's been created and accentuated by British intelligence and others on record, don't you get the police state's for you? It was never for Habib. Okay, it was never for Mr. Ali. It was never for them. It's for the American people of the West. The police state, they say, is for gun owners, conservatives, veterans, libertarians, okay? You're the target. I'm the target. Everything they've used in Fallujah with checkpoints and face scans, MIT Magazine admits is coming here. We're prisoners if they get this done. They hate our troops. They hate us. The globalists are using us. They're playing us off against each other. Class of civilizations, the great game, divide and conquer, balkanization. Divide and rule. Well, but again, here they are. Here they are basically on the same page. Obama and Romney, not 2 cents worth of difference between them. Mitt Romney agreed with Barack Obama so much last night, it was shocking, says the Business Insider, and I agree. Here's the clip.
We were together at a humorous event a little earlier, and it's nice to maybe be funny this time, not on purpose. We'll see what happens.
Would you have stuck with Mubarak?
No, I believe, as the president indicated and said at the time, that I supported his action there. We have to do as the president's done. I congratulate him on taking out Osama bin Laden and going after the leadership in al-Qaeda. Well, first of all, I want to underscore the same point the president made, which is that if I'm president of the United States, when I'm president of the United States, we will stand with Israel. There's no question but that a nuclear Iran, a nuclear-capable Iran, is unacceptable to America. Crippling sanctions were number one, and they do work. You're seeing it right now in the economy. It's absolutely the right thing to do to have crippling sanctions. I'd have put them in place earlier, but it's good that we have them. I don't blame the administration for the fact that the relationship with Pakistan is strained. We had to go into Pakistan. We had to go in there to get Osama bin Laden. That was the right thing to do. And it's widely reported that drones are being used in drone strikes, and I support that entirely and feel the president was right to up the usage of that technology and believe that we should continue to use it to continue to go after the people who represent a threat to this nation.
Continue to use drones against international law in dozens of countries to get al-Qaeda. No, you mean anybody fighting a takeover by the globalist, who you then just call al-Qaeda, while real al-Qaeda, our criminal government runs. Al-Qaeda is magic for the New World Order. They can use them to take our liberty. They can use them to attack the Serbs, the Russians, Libyans, the Syrians, the Iranians, while telling, I showed articles yesterday where Hillary is in the news saying Syria is with al-Qaeda. And that Iran is with al-Qaeda while they use al-Qaeda to attack them. I mean, that is such an insult to everyone's intelligence. And that's why I physically, this has never really happened to me. I got nauseated last night. I had an actual psychological response an hour into the debate, an hour and 10 minutes, and had to leave the room. And then it went away. I mean, because it was like, it's such a fraud. It was all lies. And they were debating different variations of lies. And it's just such an insult to everyone's intelligence. Now, here are the articles. Obama supporters continue threats to riot, assassinate Romney. Secret Service attention fails to dampen violent Twitter comments. And then we have another report out here. Establishment plays race card to bury violent threats by Obama supporters, and we have links to that, showing should threatening to shoot a presidential candidate in the face earn you a Secret Service visit? And it just goes over that, Paul Watson. And Paul, I know it's in your latest article, the mention of the racist stuff, but you know what? If Chris Matthews and all these people are going to say we're racist if we don't support Obama, we need to point out the racism that is coming out of the Democratic Party supporters who think it's cute in culture, movies, everywhere. You know, it's like a movie with a name like White Men Can't Jump. Imagine if you made a movie like, you know, something derogatory and said, Black Men Can't This. Again, and it's not that I get what it's all about, but I'm tired of it. And I think it should be exposed. Not, hey, you're the racist back, but hey, this is cultural manipulation. Paul Watson, your take on that.
Well, I mean, the media got up in arms a couple of weeks ago. If you remember, there were a few reports of some old guys hanging empty chairs in their lawns in response, in reference to the Clint Eastwood RNC speech. And that was like a big story. You know, Was it a threat against Obama? And then this happens, literally thousands of tweets threatening directly to shoot Romney in the face with a shotgun. If you look at the latest article, that's what they say. And not only is it not an issue in the media, but we get blamed for it simply for drawing attention to it by Think Progress.
Kind of like you wrote a story yesterday saying that Fukushima had not melted down again and it was a hoax. It's admitted to be a hoax today, but we're still bad.
We're still bad, yeah, because, I mean, we called it out as a hoax. All the experts on Fukushima backed us up. But because we said it, we're bad, and we're COINTELPRO. How that works, I don't know. But
and, of course, we're not talking about the original meltdowns of over a year ago. We're talking about the story yesterday that it had melted down and blown up and, you know, was 100 times bigger than Chernobyl coming our way. And, of course, we've been proven right yet again, which is why we're bad. In fact, we did Fukushima probably, Paul. That'll be the new thing. We'll be right back. Folks, we are going back to Paul Watson here briefly, and then we're going to start giving the number out and go to your calls. The toll-free number to join us on any of the issues I've raised is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We'll have open phones and a bunch of other geopolitical news in the second hour ahead of a special guest joining us. I haven't really talked about this yet, but it's now in pre-sales, and we'll be shipping out in a couple of weeks. Strategic Relocation documentary film featuring Joel Skousen. Took us 5 months to produce it. It was going to be basically a presentation, but it's more of a film. And he gets into geopolitical stuff. He gets into the globalist master plan. It's not just a strategic relocation safe house information. And there's like 3 hours of material on it. And it's really amazing. You can get the Strategic Relocation DVD and the book and more at InfoWarsShop.com or by calling 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Okay, Paul, yeah, my only point here is I think we should expose the racism angle because media ignores, you know, racial attacks on Romney, death threats, riots, everything. And I mean, I think we need to expose that. And then point out the irony that we're supposedly racist because we're pointing this out because Obama supporters can do no wrong. And like Chris Matthews said, if you don't support Obama, you're a racist. It's now just down to that. I mean, it's not that I don't like socialist health care. I mean, I obviously love it. It's the fact that he's black. I mean, that's just ridiculous, Paul.
Well, I just typed in the words Romney and cracker on YouTube. And there's literally a ton of them. Again, there's one guy who's actually a black guy who says, how y'all call Romney a racist, but y'all call him a white cracker all day long. And then apart from that, there's ones that say, if Romney win, I'm assassinate that cracker. Romney said kids overdosing from marijuana. Never in my life have I heard such a thing. That cracker is stupid. There's literally dozens of them. So when they try to play the race card, I mean, it just doesn't work because it's coming from both sides. But yeah, I mean, they pulled a guy over in 2009. Secret Service visited him after for having a sign saying abort Obama. He was against Obama's abortion policies. Had a guy, a 16-year-old kid, actually, who made a YouTube video criticizing Obama over his NDAA policy. He got a Secret Service visit. So, I mean, you got to look at the double standard here. The leftists can, you know, spout violence all day long, nothing happens. But when somebody so much as has a sign critical of Obama, they're the ones getting the Secret Service visits.
Well, clearly, if you have an anti-abortion thing saying abort Obama's administration, that means get rid of his administration. I remember that guy got pulled over and taken to jail or whatever. That was in Oklahoma. And we've got all these other examples of this going on where somebody puts Obama in a spider web with Joe Biden as a clown. It's clearly a funny Halloween thing. And the Secret Service comes and the house gets vandalized. I mean, it's crazy. They're using the Secret Service as a tool of intimidation and then letting Obama supporters run around talk about mass murder and death and racism.
Yeah, and we're bad for pointing it out. We're bad for drawing attention to it. We're the ones race baiting when Think Progress is the one going on about race all the time. And I mean, just look at these latest tweets. Quote, I want to shoot Romney in the forehead and skull F him. Quote, Lord forgive me, but I'll shoot Romney dead in his face. quote, I would love to shoot Romney with a shotgun. Imagine if there were hordes of Romney supporters on the on their Twitter account saying that. It'd be a national news story.
Oh, no, they'd say, Romney militia planning violent overthrow, insurrection, call out the military. It'd be, oh, my gosh, end of the world, run for the hills, they're terrorists, now what are we going to do? But instead, whenever it's against Romney, it's like, well, that's reasonable, you racist.
Yeah. And a lot of these people aren't even black. I mean, there were several in the ones this month. They're mostly black people, but some of them aren't even black, and they're threatening to kill Romney.
Well, now you're racist against whites. Why do you hate white people, Paul?
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Paul Watson, what's your gut tell you? You just enjoyed weeks of riots a year ago or so over in England over some things a lot smaller than election results. We see riots now over skateboarders, mainly white skateboarders. We're anti-white for saying that. If they can't get into a movie theater, I mean, rioting is the new thing to do with these flash mobs that the Department of Defense has talked so much about, including your Department of Defense over in England as well. But, you know, I guess if we talk about riots in France, we're racist against Frenchmen. This isn't going to work anymore. What do you think is going to happen if Romney does lose? I mean, I guess the Obama supporters will be happy, but what if Romney happens to win, which most polls shows he's going to win?
I think if it's narrow, and this is what a lot of people are saying, that there will be riots. I mean, whether that's on a widespread basis, who knows? But certainly if it's a very narrow decision, which if Romney does win, it looks like it will be narrow because the in-trade still has Obama quite clearly ahead, and he's still ahead in the key states. But if it does come down to the wire and it's narrow, then yeah, I think you will see some civil unrest because that's how a lot of these leftists react to losing and not getting their way. And we don't even support Romney. I mean, listen to that speech last night. It was insane. They were just agreeing on everything, you know, funding Al-Qaeda in the Middle East.
No, I physically got nauseated. I've never had that happen before.
Yeah, so we're non-partisan. We're not saying vote for anyone. We're just pointing out the double standard because we're often on the end of it. We got blamed for Richard Poplawski shooting those cops in Pittsburgh when, in fact, he hated us. He said that you were a sellout or whatever. But that
well, I wasn't a white supremacist, so he didn't like me. You know, no, that was the point. And yeah, it's yeah, we're always
they
trying
to retract it all.
Well, listen, I think you should write an update specifically with all the racism stuff and then put it as updates at the top of each article. And like, you know, media covers up, racial attacks on Romney or something like that to point out that we're being called racist by Chris Matthews and others and the White House run group, Think Tyranny or whatever it's called. We need to cover that and show that... that there's a double standard here.
Well, precisely. I mean, we're always on the end of this Think Progress group because they're an admitted Obama front. You know, they say their focus is around, quote, driving the White House's message and agenda, and then they claim they're nonpartisan. So why do you think they're attacking us all the time? And they then claim that we're a sideline, you know, fringe website, and yet we get about 15 times the amount of traffic they do. So it's just fun. It's fun going.
No, it's all part of these control freaks lecturing to us that they control reality. And just like they're always telling Drudge, you better stop linking to InfoWars. I mean, it's like they think they control reality. These people are legends in their own minds, but they've all got our tax money. That's why we can't get them out of our lives. Because they've got a bunch of dependent idiots who are too dumbed down to know what's going on, that they're slaves. And then they've got our tax money to use against us, Paul.
Well, yeah, and they've got $3 million checks from George Soros to help them. You know, if we it'd take us, what, 6 years of money bombs just to get in, what, one check they got from George Soros, and yet we're still kicking their butts because at least we try and tell the truth.
Well, they are jokes, and that's why they're going to try to shut down web freedom and everything. That's why Obama supporters are calling for banning free speech. They can't beat us in ideas. And so they want to cheat. And it isn't going to work. You're losers. Everybody's waking up to you. And as far as I'm concerned, you can go right to the devil. That's all I have to say.
And they're always the ones pushing the DHS, you know, right-wing extremist reports that we're all violent and deadly. Yet when Obama supporters come out publicly and say they want to shoot Romney in the head, that's nothing. And it's not only a non-issue, it's our fault for drawing attention to it. It's a complete double standard. It's insane, and it just highlights their rampant hypocrisy.
Well, hit them and hit them hard. Great job, Paul Watson at PrisonPlanet.com. He also writes for Infowars.com. We're going to come back, hit some of the other headlines, and I promise we're going to your phone calls, my fellow extremists. Stay with us.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another worldwide transmission. Second hour here. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv, where we're streaming video of the radio show as well. I am Alex Jones, your host. We are here Monday through Friday, again from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Look, I want to go to your phone calls. If you just joined us, recapping, disgusting yesterday. I watched the debate, Romney and Obama agreeing with each other on almost everything. Because they're globalist puppets and being told we've got to go into the Middle East because of Al-Qaeda, when our own criminal government and NATO and others run Al-Qaeda, just unbelievable. And now Obama supporters continue threats to riot, assassinate Romney. Secret Service attention fails to dampen violent Twitter comments. That story's gone viral. We have another report here as well. Establishment plays race card to bury violent threats by Obama supporters. And it goes on this morning, Paul Watson compiled a list of tweets from Obama supporters threatening to assassinate Mitt Romney and provoke riots if Obama loses the election, which now looks like he may do unless there's election fraud. The article has since been picked up by the Drudge Report, but I subsequently came across a number of tweets even more violent and offensive than the ones featured in the article. Twitchy has discovered yet more tweets from Obama supporters threatening violent murder of Romney, which include the following, and I'm not even going to read these on air. This is all very premeditated. People could get, you know, many years in prison for these. And hey, if later they selectively enforce, this is going to be brought up to juries when you're trying to put patriots in jail for no reason or mild stuff. This is going to be brought up. The establishment has tried to bury the issue by blaming the likes of InfoWars for drawing attention to it because most of the tweets are being made by black people. It's our fault and we are engaging in race baiting. Apparently, according to the likes of George Soros' Run Think Progress, who downplayed the issue, it's no big deal to threaten to shoot a presidential candidate in the face so long as your skin color is black. Imagine how this organization, which claims it's nonpartisan yet simultaneously admits its goal is centered around driving the White House's message and agenda, would react to thousands of tweets threatening violence against Obama. And it goes on here, too. There's also a lot of racial comments. I'm going to get Paul Watson to update on that. It's just amazing. Here's Fox News. Post-debate, MSNBC's Matthews claims Romney supporters fueled by racial hatred of Obama. Listen, I would have supported Herman Cain if he wasn't a former Fed governor, if he wouldn't calling for 9999, because there's another 9 in there, the FICA tax. And, you know, if he hadn't been caught lying, I don't care what color your skin is. And I shouldn't even have to say that. Point is, it's the people constantly talking about race like Chris Matthews that are the ones using race for control. And more people are figuring that out. Okay, let me go over some more of the election news here. Election 2012, Colorado. Colorado, Romney 50, Obama 46. That's one of the key battleground states that Romney or Obama need to get to win, has now reached the 50% mark for the first time in Colorado and leads President Obama by 4 in critical swing state. That's out of Rasmussen, and a whole bunch of other polls are showing the same thing. So what do we expect to see? Well, there's election fraud going on out there, and we've got Bev Harris coming on to go over some of this, but I did confirm what I heard about weeks ago. Forbes is reporting Hart Inner Civics is basically now controlled by the Romney family, and it controls a lot of the balloting. But then there's Obama-supporting groups that also control some of the other machines. So I guess in America, it's how many machines you control. I mean, that's a total conflict of interest. Here's the Associated Press. Obama Romney pumped for the dash to the finish. Yeah, it's not long now. How many days are we talking about here? Like 8 days and then 6 days? I mean, how many days is that? 14 days? 13 days? Wow. Continuing. What's that you popped in my ear there, brother? Yeah, no, I know how many days it is. Thank you. Sometimes they pop in my ear. I just heard the mic open, but nothing was said, so I was asking them what was going on. Continuing here, Obama, Romney, tangle on Al-Qaeda, foreign policy, and final presidential debate. I mean, that's just totally ridiculous. They're doing nothing but discussing fantasy there. Romney won the presidential debate by looking presidential. Obama had a painful case of Biden's smile. That's the London Telegraph. That's their view of that. And that was the Republican spin I was seeing last night, was that immediately, well, he looked presidential and Obama didn't. Well, that's what the Democrats tried to say for Obama when he lost the first debate, was Obama was trying to look presidential. I don't think he lost it as bad as Obama lost the first one. But, I mean, again, it's all rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. But I have to say, Obama, I couldn't watch the last 20 minutes. But from what I saw, Obama won the debate just because, they were interrupting him so much, too. So we've got more news on that. This is an interesting article here out of the Washington Examiner. Walmart Air funding Obama big time. Well, yeah, Walmart gets a lot of its money from welfare recipients. That's where a lot of them shop. And so that's all the economy that's left now for 50 million Americans is food stamps, and well, it's 90 plus million on welfare. So, I mean, yeah. Now, the Washington Times describing Obama donor Sam Walton as Walmart chairman. In truth, the Obama donor is Walmart heir Sam Walton. And it goes on, I guess that's the correction at the top here. Can we stop pretending that Barack Obama's candidacy is some grassroots uprising? And then it just goes on with them breaking down the fact that the Walmart heir of Sam Walton is funding that. So that's just some of the news that we have on that front. Florida Republican 71 arrested for penny attack on Democratic Party offices. He reportedly threw some pennies on the ground and said, "Here's all I've got left. Have the rest of my money." And he's been arrested. They're calling it an attack. So that's just some of that news. And it's all a distraction to a great extent. Like I said, tomorrow we're going to be looking at this with Bev Harris of Black Box Voting, one of the premier experts in election fraud, who is nonpartisan to a great extent. Voter fraud is a felony. Billboards removed amid outcry from critics. And this is a Mark Salvo story up at Infowars.com. And he makes the point that you've got to have it to get a gym membership. You've got to get it to rent a movie, to purchase a six-pack of beer, or wager at a blackjack table. There's nothing short of ridiculous that the same standards are not required to cast a vote. Well, you got Democratic operatives caught saying vote once, vote often, vote twice, vote often. But feds to probe possible vote fraud in Florida, because some groups are sending letters to people saying if you're an illegal alien, don't vote. Trying to hope to act like there's some law and order in this country when obviously there isn't. So that's going on. But again, Democrats like the low-level retail fraud. They're famous for that. Ballot box stuffing, voting repeatedly, and some electronic fraud. But Republicans have proven they're the real Mac Daddies of that. And here's Forbes. Romney's family investment ties to voting machine company that could decide the election, causing concern. And Forbes goes over to confirm that. Romney's ties to voting machine makers raise alarms. Pretty much the same headlines everywhere. Romney family buys voting machines through Bain Capital Investment. Supreme Court rejects early voting appeal. So Hardiner Civics, based here in Austin. So I'll give them a heads up. We're going to get Bev Harris on, hear what she has to say about this. Then I'm going to try to get an interview with Hardiner Civics. Or if you don't, I'm sending reporters over there. So get ready for that. Hardiner Civics has been caught with their pants down repeatedly. And I really do think that there's an issue with George Soros tied into election systems, Romney tied into them. I mean, it's just, you know what? There's so many laws in this country. How about a conflict of interest laws? You know, where are the ethics in this country? Where these big politicians, who's the one, Senator Hagel, who started one of the biggest companies in the U.S. You can look this up. And then 90%+ of the vote that got him into office was on machines, where he was literally the head guy and the owner. Not like it's just some investment. I mean, come on, man. People are voting for you on machines you own. I mean, come on. It just destroys the integrity of the entire voting system. Folks, I don't know who's going to win this. And again, they're both puppets, but it will vary. And if Obama gets back in, he won't be facing re-election. He'll have executive orders. He'll have the pardon power. But that may backfire and make people really wake up and say no to him. Or he could just totally take over. Or does the establishment want Romney in there because he's a new face and people kind of go back to sleep for a while and then he can, quote, get things done, like legalize the illegals and all the stuff he's promised to do? I don't know. But I'm telling you, at the grassroots, people are really, you can see it, you can feel it, you can tell. Romney is ahead in this. And the numbers all show that, not from one polling company or two or three or five or ten. It's every one we've looked at. Across the wide spectrum, this is going on. And so it's not just in popular vote, too. You know, they got major universities like the University of Colorado there at Denver, who's been stunningly accurate the last 20 years or so in elections, saying that Romney's who they think is going to win. And he's going to win 76%. 76% chance he'll win the popular vote was the number I saw last week. And that now he's starting to pick up dead heats or passing in the key battleground states like Colorado. So regardless, could there be an October surprise if Romney wins, rioting? And what will that do? I'm not the one saying that's going to happen. His supporters, Obama's supporters, are the ones saying that. Now, if there aren't riots or there are only a few little ones, the media, you can better believe, is going to come out and say, Mr. Jones, you said there'd be riots. No. We're saying thousands of people are saying riots and killing and everything else. So that's the issue, and so we need to get that straight on the record. We're going to come back and go to your phone calls, and then I thought I might tell you about something in case you didn't know it. It's now admitted what we told you over a decade ago. I knew this because of patents. All of the computer cameras on your cell phones, on your smartphones, on your computers at home are watching you. There's not a question. They're watching you. And that's now admitted. And they're actually, well, I'm going to tell you about this. They're uploading it to porn sites. That's CBS News. We're going to get into that, too, after calls. We don't normally cover sports here on the air, but because of the Lance Armstrong situation and the NFL and all of this, we've got an amazing researcher, Brian. He'll be coming on with us. Brian, who wrote The Fix Is In, will be coming on the radio broadcast. So Brian Toohey coming up. I read his book a few months ago, and I've been really meaning to get him on. I've had him on the nightly news. And the book is The Fix Is In. And it ties into politics as well, so we're going to be looking at that. Did you know the NFL's tax-exempt? You know, you pay for almost all the stadiums. We're going to break that down coming up and talk some about Lance Armstrong and take your calls. I want to go to your calls right now, but you heard me right. Study, vast majority of homemade porn, private photos end up online. They have software systems that hack your computers, government-built and demanded backdoors and everything, and then you see all that homemade porn floating around the web, even when you're not looking for it? Well, it turns out it's homemade. So there you go. And, of course, I already knew about this. It's parasite programs, but they're able to do it because the droids, the iPhones, the Microsoft systems, the Apple systems, they're all designed, as Dr. Stallman has broken down here on the air, to have people backdoor them. Of course, the chips in the Defense Department stuff has backdoor chips. But the Chinese government, who's terrible, by the way, I'm not defending them, they didn't put that in there because they wanted to do it. That's globally standardized. You can't sell computer chips in Europe, North America. You can't sell, under federal law, a cell phone since 1996 that they can't GPS triangulate off cell towers and that they can't dial into. And, boy, I'd talk about this in 96 and get death threats out the wazoo. and engineers calling me saying you're not supposed to know that. It was all in the Telecommunications Act. See, I'm already covering this. I said I'd get to it later. It's so frustrating that, in fact, Paul Watson IM'd you the article. Will you guys print that for me, please? He did one last week again because it finally broke mainstream news. I never covered it. I want to cover it now. I can call him again and have him send it again. But the point is that all of that is going on. All of that is happening. And, you know, they call it hacks now that, oh, people go in and they take photos and turn your camera on. Oh, even when your phone's off, they can be doing it. I have nothing to hide. The government says, well, just let us watch you. But the point is, I like my privacy. It's the reason I have walls. It's the reason I live out in the countryside. And so I've known for years in my house, all the cameras are covered on the computers. In my and people come over the years and say, why is there a sticker over the camera? Oh, they watch you. People always laugh at me, even though it's admitted that public schools are doing it. You name it. It's going on everywhere. It's happening everywhere. All right, I'm going to shut up and go to your calls. Let's get one in before we go to break here. Kirk in Illinois, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, hey, nice job getting through the news without going on a rant. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
I like you.
Yeah, I can't understand you, caller. They were talking in my ear. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, hey, I just said that. Nice job actually being able to get through the news without going on a rant. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm trying my best here.
Hey, also, you know, I'm not a Twitter user, but and I did read that article of Paul Joseph Watson today, and I'm just wondering, how is it possible that all these Obamanoids can spell assassinate correctly when everything else is a big mess? I mean, could this be like a provocateur op or anything like that?
Well, we've talked at length about that and noted that in the earlier articles. I've learned to tell dummy accounts. They're usually a few months old, a few days old. They'll have a few videos on them that aren't theirs. We went in and drilled into these accounts. And undoubtedly, now this is a big national story, I will imagine there are some spoofs, is what it's called, spoofing. I would imagine that some of that is happening. But you can't spoof a two-year-old Twitter account with 5,000 tweets with photos of people's family. And you go, look, it is a real family. It's a whole history. No, the Secret Service has gone to real people's houses. The news reported that last week. These are real people.
Oh, so the Secret Service actually is doing something, although probably not enough.
Yes, it was reported, as we said, by the Weekly Standard and others. The Secret Service has responded. We've had listeners who've had family members arrested for it, but they're releasing them, but they are arresting them. And my point is they may be charged. But you separately have the George Soros media implying that none of this is happening and it's not real or we're racist or we're liars.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, regardless, even if it is a provocateur op, I'm not going to live in fear of it.
Oh, well, it's not about living in fear. It's about asking what's going to happen if there are riots. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we have massive preparation for riots being carried on by Homeland Security level never before seen. I'm saying it may be provocateur. They may let this spread as a provocateur action. Do you get my drift now?
I do.
God bless you. Thank you, sir. All right, we're going to come back, try to rattle through more calls. Jeff, Zach, Jim, Colin, Bill, others, stay with us.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, I'm going to try to rocket through your phone calls and then get into Big Brother watching you over your phones and computers, which is now mainstream news, and they just report it like it's no big deal. So we're going to be breaking that down after we take some of your calls. Then we're going to have the author of The Fix Is In, a powerful book getting into the proof of just systematic fraud and corruption across sports, which is basically force-fed by government as a distraction. We're going to be looking at that. But by the way, this film took about 5 months to make, and I was going to call it just a presentation, but it really is a film, and we're just now getting around to the trailer for it right now. The film is actually done, It's been manufactured. We're going to start shipping it out in a couple weeks. Strategic Relocation documentary film featuring Joel Skousen and Alex Jones. And it has a similar cover to his book, but, I mean, he gets into, in 3 hours, two-hour film, like an hour of extras, he gets into how the globalists plan to roll out the takeover, just really powerful info, but also deep breakdown and basically like a three-hour consultancy. He's like one of the top consultants, if not the top consultant in the United States on building hardened retreats, hidden retreats, the safest places, and he really knows his stuff. I mean, I was shocked whenever Joel Skousen was here for a couple of days that he knew everything about the Texas Hill Country and had built a whole bunch of different retreats here over the years because it's one of the only safer places in Texas. And then I was asking him about East Texas, and he knew everything about it. I was asking about areas of Wyoming that I have intimate knowledge of, knew all about it. And it was really impressive. This guy has been everywhere. And while he was here, he had just finished working on some big compound outside Austin. And he knows all about the sociology, the anthropology, the psychology of the areas. We also sell his big, thick color book, Strategic Relocation, the book. But the film is Strategic Relocation. And Joel Skousen, you know, breaks down the safest places and how to secure your home with Alex Jones. And it really is a film. You know, we're calling it a presentation, but Darren McBreen and Rob Jacobson kind of went crazy. And I kept saying, hey, you just get it done. It's a breakdown of the film. But they ended up making all these graphics and documents and maps, and it's very impressive. So if you want to be the first to get it, pre-order now, InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsShop.com. We'll get you there, a link through on the shop links at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. And get it, because this is something that is absolutely vital, that everyone have this, even if you're going to shelter in place during any type of crisis. And let's prepare, you know, for the worst, hope for the best. I hope that his scenarios don't unfold. But this is high-grade, real preparation. This is the Rolls Royce of it. This is the real deal. So this is not fly-by-night. This is real, deep research from somebody that lives this stuff 18 hours a day, with yours truly giving my geopolitical analysis as well, but it's about 80% Skousen. We taped for about 5 hours, condensed it down to 3 hours. Strategic Relocation documentary film featuring Joel Skousen. We should probably add Ann Alex Jones on there. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. Or you can simply go to PrisonPlanet.tv and also link through there and order it there. Okay. Coming up, smartphone apps now use microphone to record your conversations. Cell phone takes private pictures without your consent. That's Paul Watson's article from last week and goes through all the admissions. But see, it dovetails with phone hacking suits hit Piers Morgan, old tabloid, AP. I'm going to tie all that together with this CBS News Report study. Vast majority of homemade porn, private photos end up online. They break into your computers, or Facebook allows for its partners, they allow them into your private stuff, they sell it. And then you get to be part of the porn factory. That's like in 1984, Winston's torturing, or O'Brien's torturing Winston. And he goes, of course we know you're having sex with that woman. We've got all the film footage of it. And he goes, what'd you do with that? He goes, oh, it's being recycled for proletariat use. It's being shown in the porno theaters for the proles, the general public. But so you're a party member. You're not allowed to have extramarital sex. But the general public, they're allowed to. It's only the politicians and minions that aren't. They always keep them in a greater tyranny. That's why those of you that like to live under tyranny, those of you that think you're going to get power out of it, you're blowing off your own feet. You know, I had Lou Rockwell on yesterday, and I always paraphrase, different parables and allegories. And he corrected me. Well, he didn't correct me. He unknowingly corrected me. I'm always telling the fable of the frog and the scorpion. And I always talk about the scorpion says, hey, carry me across the river. The scorpion says to the frog, carry me across the river. And the frog says, no, you'll sting me. And he goes, no, I won't, I promise. So they get to the other side, and the scorpion stings him. And the frog rolls over dying, says, why'd you do that? And he says, well, I'm a scorpion. It's my nature. But Rockwell told it better. I was saying, you know, the elites are destroying their own future. They're getting rid of their own due process. They're going to create a hellish world. And Rockwell said, well, yeah, that's the frog and the scorpion, where the frog asked the scorpion, take me across. And the frog says, but you'll sting me. And the scorpion says, I promise I won't. And halfway across, the scorpion stings him. They both are sinking, beginning to drown. And he says, why'd you do that? And he says, well, I'm a scorpion. So that is the proper fable, the proper allegory. That's what's going on here. But this is what elites do throughout history. Smart elites, even if they're corrupt, don't get rid of the checks and balances and don't engage in this type of stuff and don't create giant welfare hordes. Rome went through all this. Babylon went through this. Every culture has gone through this. The Aztecs had welfare. They went through this. And we're now going through this. And the globalists actually write white papers admitting they know they're doing this, but they say they hate humanity so much, they just want to see everything go up in flames. So they're setting up an elaborate world government to make sure they destroy everything. Lenin wrote poetry about wanting to blow the earth up. I mean, these are mentally ill people, and you have to understand that. And they have to be stopped, okay? They have to be stopped. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of species death. I'm afraid of not having great-great-great-great-grandchildren because I love humanity and the interactions and our art and our literature and what we've done. I have this connection to the past I can feel but also understand intellectually to my ancestors who hand-by-hand touched through the people that came before me right back to them. You have a direct physical connection to your ancestors 6,000, 7,000 years ago. You have a direct connection to your ancestors, but you also have a connection to those coming in the future. And I look forward into the future and see a foggy outcome. I don't know if we're going to make it. That doesn't mean I can tell, you know, what's going to happen in the future or that I'm a fortune teller. What I'm saying is I intellectually have enough knowledge of history and where things are going that my electrochemical supercomputer that God gave me, you have one too, just use it, can look out into the future. And I don't see a clear outcome for our species. I see some type of survival of the species, but it may be irrevocably damaged. And see, the globalists are into vandalizing things. They're into ugliness. And see, I'm into stepping on them. I don't take pleasure in crushing evil. It must be crushed. It must be crushed. It must be crushed. And if you don't have a basic understanding of that at a fundamental core level, if evil doesn't upset you, if persecution of widows and children and the innocents, and if bullies and injustice doesn't get you angry at a fundamental level, well, then you aren't living. And so many people talk about how unhappy they are at record numbers. Of course, you're living in fantasy football and fantasy sports and fantasy culture and fantasy TV and video games and fantasy. You're not living in the real world. You're not satisfied. The Matrix can never deliver long term. It can deliver up front, and you can give yourself to it, and for a while it feels okay, but down the road it gets very nasty. Let me tell you what's going to deliver you to Valhalla. Reality. Biting into it. The real grit. The real visceral thing. This is what's real. This. Okay, not this fake globalist projection you think when you're awake that the propaganda is ridiculous and stupid. It's not meant for you. You're awake. It's designed for the zombies. You can't get mad at the public that they're totally dumbed down and don't know which end is up. They are under scientific attack. Thank God Almighty. Thank your lucky stars. Thank whatever it is you think that you're awake to a certain extent. You should be horrified by the dumbed down public. I see so many people get off on how dumb people are. It makes you feel superior. Yeah, let me tell you something. They will drag everybody down. You better not feel superior over people floundering around. I see people that feel superior all the time over people that aren't as smart or aren't as informed or aren't as successful as them. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And it's disgusting when little people look up at those that are successful and want to pull them down as well. It's disgusting and it's inhuman and it's the lower order. And it's what we need to recognize as bad and say no to it. I'm done ranting. Jeff in Texas, sorry. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on the debate last night. It was It was like watching two demons trading lies about fairy tales.
Oh, gosh. I was trying to tweet things all day, and I just couldn't come up with anything. It's probably why I was getting nauseated that could describe it. I'm going to tweet that right now. Oh, gosh, you finally said it. That is exactly what I was thinking, and I couldn't say it last time. I was like, I had some mental block to the point of, it was so disgusting. I had to, let me tweet this. Of course, my tweet's not loading. My little spy phone here. Say that again. The debate was watching. Let me see if it'll do it. The debate was like, problem is it's always too short, was like watching two demons
trading lies about fairy tales.
That's it. Two demons. You're a genius. Two demons. Well, anyways, keep going. Go ahead and make your point.
So anyway, yeah, and it was like they were competing for the America, you know, for the soul of America. It was like a contest of liars. You know, who's the best liar? Boy, he was really a convincing liar. I don't know. Maybe Obama was a better liar. You know, that's just what it looked. I don't know. It was just disgusting.
You know, I'm not just saying this. That's one of the most concise, almost haiku-like poetries you just said, because I was trying to figure out how to tweet last night in a short enough span, and I had all these drafts because it kept denying me. It was always a little too long. How do you say this is all a fraud, and then they're debating little intricacies of the lies, and how do you say there's scum on top of it, and that's it? The debate was like watching two demons trading lies about fairy tales. That's it.
Yeah, so... Well, I'm looking for a job, too. I just lost my job. I'm in Houston. you still hiring?
Hey, why don't you start writing some pieces and submitting them to us? And if they're good, you know, write us 5, 6, 7 pieces. You might end up getting to be a writer that we, you know, pay part-time to write or something. My problem is I don't have the capital to hire more people. You know, I thank God the Money Bomb was a success. I want to thank all the listeners. We're going to be able to do some big things. If the Lord's willing and keeps blessing us in the fight against the globalists, thanks to close to $500,000 came in. Sounds like a lot. It's not with TV equipment and uplinks, but it should be enough to do the job. So thank you, folks. You're not behind us. You're right beside us. But, yeah, I mean, I wish I could hire 50 more people. The other problem is then managing folks and all the things that come with that. But we're trying our best here. Just keep praying for us. Any other points about the debate?
You know, that was really the main thing. It just was. It was hard to watch. It was the lies were just so. It was unbelievable. It was. It was like you said. You know, it was like you're in the Matrix. So and
well, it was just. But then in real time, you could see Obama throwing in provisos finally. Like, and by the way, we don't want to arm the wrong guys there. While they're arming Al-Qaeda, they're already getting the next story ready, you know, to keep bombing after they've gotten rid of Assad. It's a perpetual war plan to actually just deindustrialize and wreck those poor countries. And then you realize you're under the same attack here. And it's just so sick. It's like it's a nightmare that never ends. And it's like, why can't people see Obama was like some weird space alien debating Count Dracula is how my wife described it last night. And Obama looked like he had jaundice, and Romney looked completely insane. Anything else, sir?
And black magic, basically.
No, but I mean, you're right. They were there like two vampires fighting over the woman they've got in the ditch. You know, they've run the wagon off the road, and they've killed the horseman driving the wagon, and then they've got the young maiden knocked out in the back, and Renfield's running around there, and it's two Count Draculas fighting over who gets to shuck all the blood out of her. I hear you, brother. Great points. Yep, the debate was like watching two demons trading lies about fairy tales. Yeah, that's it, because it's lies within lies. Zach in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, in my opinion, it was Obama, the UN uniter, versus Romney, the Bilderberg-built businessman. And I was just going to ask two questions, if I could, after that.
Go ahead, brother.
They're going to be, we heard the clip you played earlier where Romney was praising the use of U.S. drones foreignly. Will he increase their use both foreign and domestically? And also, post-election, will Obama or Romney sign onto the UN gun grab that they previously pushed under the table?
Yeah, they're both going to sign onto it. That's why the globalists have an agenda. That's why they agreed so much on foreign policy. That's why they had trouble even fighting with each other, because it's all smoke and mirrors. The Air Force has 20,000 drones assigned to the CIA. It's 20,000 last time I checked. 20,000 operable. And they're in the news today calling for more drones. And yes, the plan is to have them operate everywhere weaponized, and to have blimps tethered over every city. It's just a hellish future. I mean, look, it's crazy people with unlimited power that we're funding who want to play God, who are eugenicists that also love to poison our food supply. I mean, you couldn't come up with a more sickening perspective than what we're facing.
Right. And also, is it by 2016, is that when they're allowed to use them officially, domestically? That's what I've heard. Or have you heard anything else?
Sure. They're already rolling them out in the next 46 billion that they put in the funding for domestic drones and the FAA funding last year. And it was earlier this year. 30,000 drones. Washington Post reported on that. It's the main source. They're buying them everywhere and already weaponizing them, so it's here. And they're also going to have ground robots, too. I mean, they're already, the streetlights in Austin for 14 years have got microphones on them, and now they put one in by my parents' house. I mean, microphones, cameras, and the streetlights. I mean, you know, this is it. And, I mean, it's all off the charts. In fact, we'll get to that coming up. They're taking photos of you naked in your house and uploading it to the porn sites.
Got a business that you didn't build, that somebody else made that happen.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
By the way, John Baum put that new liner together. You didn't build that, buddy. In fact, the heart with this great song, those ladies didn't compose this music. They didn't sing it. Government did. I mean, look at how wonderful North Korea, Communist Russia, Communist China, Castro's Cuba. Look how great government health care is in Europe. Year and a half waits for brain surgery. When you need it, you die. I mean, it's great. By the way, we've got World Bank Luminary, breed smaller people to increase metabolic efficiency. That's up at InfoWars.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have probably the last year, let's not exaggerate, 150 or so, I mean, I've seen like 10 the last week and a half, of professors and scientists and news headlines about, we're going to breed you smaller for the Earth. Of course, that's all Brave New World, written in 1932. And Huxley said in 1962, before he died, that was actually a real plan. And he should know, he comes from one of the founding eugenics family of 1853. And you don't know what that is, you better watch Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. But, I mean, they just, and you're like, they're going to breed us now? And they just put it out there, oh, yeah, we're going to breed you. You're not a terrorist, are you? Hey, you can't go to public school if you've got the muscular dystrophy gene. And that was in the news yesterday. We're going to make you go to a special school, even though it hadn't manifest. They're taking over. They know what they're doing. They're called eugenicists. That's the secret. That's the game plan. That's behind the facade. You want to know what's behind the matrix? That's it. And only people being in comas lets these scum win. And I personally have had enough of it. Let's go to Jim in Ohio. You're on the air, Jim. Then we'll go to Colin and others. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, brother. Welcome.
Thanks. I was just calling because with all these Twitter threats against Romney and everybody now, I would just like to point out that not only, one, is this not a new thing, but as a matter of fact, I'm a pretty young guy here. When I was 18 a couple of years ago and going to college at the Ohio State University, I had a tweet that I actually put out one day, actually on the 24th of September 2010, that was I had a particularly bad day. And I tweeted that I was hungry, angry, and that I was frustrated enough to potentially shoot some Apple Store employee. I was being using hyperbole, of course.
But they had to take it serious because of the shootings, or they would have. But here's the deal. There was a guy, when that cop shot the poor black guy in the back that was bound in San Francisco, and then the cop got off, I think it was like a year in jail, a guy on my site said, somebody ought to kill that guy, close quote. And they went, arrested him, got, you know, the subpoena, got our records, got him, and took him to jail, and he got a big prison sentence. So my message to people is, this stuff's all being watched. I mean, you know what? People all the time threaten me online, and I'm not really afraid of them because I know cowards do that. If you're really going to go after somebody, you don't threaten it. But the point is, there's all these punks that think in the internet world they can just threaten people all day, and that's not how it works. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was just going to say, what I found amazing about that is, you know, I tweeted that out on like 24th of September, and that was, you know, at best, that is a threat, I guess, and, you know, that probably should have been said. But the reason I've even left it in there is because, and that was a threat against an employee of a store that I was upset with, and I had the Department of Homeland Security with the university police department come into the dorm that I was living at. Now, interestingly enough, I wasn't there at the time.
Yeah, but see, there you go. So it shouldn't have been the feds. The feds are taking everything over through the threat fusion centers, and then they're always involved. So I know they can say, well, it's the internet, it's federal. Well, then everything's federal. So how'd the story end?
Well, it ended up, they came in with a university police officer and a Homeland Security agent and everything and sat down with me in the lobby of the dorm there.
I want to hear the rest of this.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, I don't get into the pettiness of the internet a lot, unless it's to illustrate the pettiness. And I was just pointing out there's all these tough guys on the internet who don't even use their real names or whatever. A caller calls in and says the debate was like watching two demons trading lies about fairy tales. I say, hey, that's great. I'm going to tweet out what you just said. I announce it on air. I tweet it 15 minutes ago or talking about it 15 minutes ago. Someone obviously heard that, tweeted it before I ever finished it because I waited till I proofread it during the break and sent it out. They tweeted like 2 minutes before me. So there could be a new controversy of how I stole a tweet. That will punch it up on screen for people who are watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. It's not about two demons, trading lies about fairy tales. That's not what we're talking. No, it's how Alex is bad. In fact, I should be put in prison for this. It says the debate was like watching two demons trading lies about fairy tales. I told the guy I'm going to tweet out what he said on air. Then this one goes, initiated demons they are, I guess in the Yoda-style talk. And then this guy says, you left this tweet from @FUCT. Not cool, bro. Well, I'm not cool. I'm just bad. See, so I tweet this out. And obviously this guy over here heard the caller tweeted at the same time. And then I'm reported on for stealing tweets. And that's how this craziness works. Just absolutely amazing. So there you go. But you can follow us at twitter.com/RealAlexJones or, of course, at prisonplanet.tv. We're streaming video right now. It's just mindlessness. Let's go back to Jim in Ohio. So you sent out a thing about, I was at this Apple store. I'm so mad I could shoot that person. And Homeland Security shows up at your dorm. Go ahead and finish the story quickly.
Yeah, well, anyways, they showed up and, were sitting me down and, you know, giving me this talking to about how I shouldn't be doing this and that and whatever and how serious it was and that, you know, you could be arrested for this and all these different things. Well, in any case, you know, I didn't even put the dots together, but turns out that they were probably most likely doing this in advance of Obama coming to campus, not, you know, 3 weeks or so later after this meeting they had with me, which someone mentioned to when I was telling them the story later. They're like, you know, it was probably because the president was coming, and I hadn't even connected the dots.
Yeah, exactly. They've got data mining deals that scoop everything up. It's an incredible technocracy. Good to hear from you, my friend. Let's go to Colin in Georgia. You're on the air. Welcome.
How you doing, Alex?
Good. Welcome.
Okay. First off, I think I have two things. First is, what's your take on the Anonymous movement?
Well, anytime you hear an anonymous movement, there's going to be good people and bad people. Now the government can project onto all hackers false flags or things they do to set up hacking in general. And they can also blame attacks on Anonymous, and then so Anonymous takes credit. Anytime something's anonymous, it's perfect for black bag operations, cloak and dagger type stuff, where they can generally blame hackers, period, for stuff the globalists have done to bring in their cybersecurity takeover system.
Okay. Well, I know what they've done with Operation Blackout and Stop and Soap and Pipe and stuff. They did some pretty good things, but...
Yeah, but see, that's just because now anything good will be attributed to Anonymous. Anything bad will be, because it's just anonymous. It's like saying, hey, we need to occupy Wall Street against the corrupt banks. All these good people show up, then the Democrats come who put the call out through their operatives and try to take it over. When that didn't work, they arrested everybody and shut it down in a federal coordinated raid nationwide. See what I'm saying? It's a projection.
Yeah. Okay, well, okay, that brings me to my second question. I saw a video on YouTube about Operation V that they're trying to execute. And they're actually declaring war against the United States government.
Yeah, that's because they're, listen, they're trying to pass cybersecurity. Obama's getting ready with his executive order to take the web over. I don't know about the particular operation, but guaranteed, they launched Stuxnet against Iran, and so they wanted to take the web over because of Stuxnet. Okay? We don't have a U.S. government. We have a banker government. Okay? That... Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are back into yet another live hour. I am Alex Jones, your host. You have found it the tip of the spear in the fight against the globalist. We are here Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be talking to Brian Toohey here in a moment. I've interviewed him on the nightly news, but I want to get him back on the full radio show. He wrote The Fix Is In, The Showbiz Manipulations of the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, and NASCAR, and the fact that, you know, gambling basically runs the whole deal. And I know people know this to a certain extent, but you realize how staged and how fake and what a fraud it is and how taxpayers subsidize it. Here's a article out of the Washington Post. Playing by the NFL's tax-exempt rules... here's another report on Business Week. In stadium building spree, U.S. taxpayers lose $4 billion. And, you know, that's my big problem. If you want to have Formula One, that's one thing outside Austin. But why on God's green earth are they being given basically total tax exemption and a bunch of it paid for on top of that by taxpayers? While the guy that owns Formula One gives, you know, just earlier this year, he gave one daughter, what was it, $4 billion? And the other one, a bunch of money as well. I mean, and again, I'm all for people making money if it's done in the free market, but it's almost always some crony ripoff. And then those are guys always lecturing lower middle class and middle class people. We got to pay more taxes because we're rich and we're bad. When really the money's just taken and given to these guys. So that's just some of the news and information I have on that front. We're going to be talking about that in a second. Going to Infowars.com, punch that up on screen for people watching at PrisonPlanet.tv. Obama supporters continue threats to riot and assassinate Romney. Steve Watson has another headline, vote Obama for unaccountable drone warfare, vote for Romney for unaccountable drone warfare. United Nations calls for Internet Big Brother system to combat terrorism. What I was just talking about with the last caller about how they stage cyber attacks, then blame it on Anonymous because Anonymous is easy to blame it on because it's anonymous. Also, World Bank luminary, breed smaller people to increase metabolic efficiency. Yeah, the government wants to genetically engineer you. They have to first sterilize you to where you have to artificially create an egg in a laboratory. Then, of course, it'll be government healthcare run, so you'll have to agree to have certain traits put in. Establishment plays race card to bury violent threats by Obama supporters. Russian foreign minister says U.S. playing geopolitical game in Middle East. Really? No. How about the U.S. doesn't exist and was taken over by foreign banks? It's like Russia's run by oligarchs. How about that? And a lot more up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Now, Brian Toohey is a very interesting fellow. In fact, I've got his bio over here. I probably should go over that. Brian Toohey is the author of The Fix Is In, The Showbiz Manipulations of the NFL, which has been reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. He's a nation's foremost expert on game fixing and has been called its most skeptical fan. He has appeared in over 100 different radio programs, TV programs, you name it. I'm not going to go over the whole deal. He's reviewed FBI files, you name it, interviewed FBI agents. I'm not going to even begin to get into his whole bio. Brian Toohey joins us because, you know, again, I played football. I played baseball. I was even in track. I like it when you're in the sports. My kids are on swim team, stuff like that. You know, soccer, all that. I love sports if it's your team, if you're in it. And if it's old people playing softball, I'll go watch it. But because it's about them. It's about us, little guys. It's so sick, though, when kids only have Lance Armstrong on their wall. You know, why don't they have, you know, Fearless Felix? You know, the guy jumping from 24 miles up there. Some folks mailed us some 1950s books about the Founding Fathers and Davy Crockett and all this stuff. And I was reading the back of that, what listeners sent me that I gave to my son. And it was all the incredible stuff they were reading about Madame Curie and about, and you read them, they're entertaining books too about history. That's how I got into it. And I think about the average kids today, it's either sports or it's video games. At least sports is in the real world to some extent. And I'm not even saying video games are all bad, except these virtual realities, and it's all people will talk about, or you go to the bar to pick up food you've ordered at the restaurant, and men look at you and go, hey, Alex Jones, how you doing? Hey, man, how about the game, blah, blah. And it's all just fake. It's not real. I don't want to talk about a bunch of overpaid, arrogant professional athletes that think they're God and are egomaniacs, okay? I'm sick of people that are egomaniacs. I'm sick of people that get off on all this narcissism. Never take my aggression and my anger and my focus as narcissism. It's the opposite. That's why I can't stand being told how great I am. I know how transitory I am. I know the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I'm incredibly humble. I'm angry at the globalists, and I'm a fan of human ingenuity and passion and beauty and discovery. And everything I see being force-fed by the mainstream media is to dumb us down and is ugly. It's ugly. And I had to sit here for years knowing what a dirtbag Lance Armstrong was. But, you know, I mean, my parents have been at Tour de France in the box with, you know, with Lance Armstrong's family, okay? I'm not going to get into the, you know, whole thing, how that ended up happening a few times. But the point is, and I didn't really hear much from them. I heard it from other people, okay? I mean, Lance Armstrong lives in Austin, okay? And I talked to a big Wall Street guy that knows Lance Armstrong, that was on a board with him, how much Lance Armstrong hates me. Then I found out from somebody else at one of his, I'm not even going to say where. The point is, did I ever talk about Lance Armstrong? No. The last few years with a scandal. Because Lance Armstrong doesn't amount to a hill of beans, ladies and gentlemen. Another self-centered egomaniac who treats his wife and his kids and everybody around him like trash, who treats his girlfriends like trash, who treats everybody like dirt, who promises people things and doesn't deliver, okay? He's a nobody, folks. He's a nobody. And I never talked about Lance Armstrong. I could tell you a lot of stories about Lance Armstrong. I'm not going to do it. But it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Disgusting. Okay? But what's more disgusting is it's now come out, but it's back of the paper, that, of course, the big international associations and different races he was in knew he was doping. And when he would get caught, it would get shut down. And Lance told his team, don't worry, I'm getting it all fixed. Because he was making the sport from obscure to incredibly giant and popular. He was expanding it. And so they let it build up. And then as it oozed out and stuff, well, now they're going to let it come out so the system can act like it's good. It's a ritual, like burning, you know, for tiny stock stuff that wasn't even an impropriety, in my view, researching at Martha Stewart. Okay, this is what they do. Oh, Martha Stewart, the average person thinks she's rich. She's nothing compared to the globalists. Let's burn her while, you know, globalists can steal trillions. That's my issue. So this ceremony of building up Lance Armstrong and then destroying him, I want no part of it. I want no part of it. Lance Armstrong is a joke. Another inflated ego brought down to size. another life that's worthless. I mean, it's just, it's an empty husk. Pushing the cancer industry, raising money to create more expensive treatments. Why is cancer exploding? Why don't you ever talk about that, Lance Armstrong? I got a message to Lance Armstrong a couple years ago. And he just said, tell that conspiracy theorist, you know, that he's crazy. And I said, Lance, why don't you do something and let us get you some documents about why cancer is increasing? And why don't you come out and really do, you know, do something that helps people and expose that cancer is being engineered? And my answer was, you know what, Jones, you're a kook. You know what, Lance Armstrong, I'm not a kook. I know what I'm talking about. You don't really want to help people. You want to play the part of a hero and get built up, and you're a cheat and you're a joke. And you took all this power you had back when you could have done something and you squandered it. You wasted it, and there's nothing more pathetic, and it makes me sick. It makes me feel bad for you. It makes me feel low. Watching your fall makes me feel like trash, knowing that you never, now you're discredited. Now you can't do really any good, bud. We're going to go to our guest here. I'm now ranting off into Lance Armstrong. It just makes me sick. You know, what's the hundreds of millions of dollars do for you, bud? That I predict he's going to end up losing. Oh, they're coming after him. Don't you worry. They'll cook something up now. Everything's illegal in this country. They'll get you, Lance. You're going to go to jail probably. My gut tells me. And they'll love it. They'll love burning you. That system that built you up and knew you were a cheat, pushing all that cancer treatment on people, and making you the big hero, and making the cancer industry look like heroes when they're engineering the whole thing, riding this train straight to hell. I'm done talking about Lance Armstrong. My parents are going to get mad, too, that I mentioned that. They never told me anything. Just after the fact, they're like, oh, yeah. But and they didn't really know Lance Armstrong that well. They've just been around him some. But I know plenty from the stuff I know isn't even from my parents. All right, we're going to go to break, come back with this guest. We're going to talk about the fraud in sports and other things that are going, and try to go to some of your calls. I know people are holding. Hopefully you can tailor them to the guest. It doesn't matter. You can talk about the nature of fraud in this world. The book is available. Brian Toohey, The Fix is In, at InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com, PrisonPlanet.com, all links through. And a little bit of profit we make funds this operation. I got dozens of ways to try to fund the 51 crew members and what we've built here. And yeah, we're not George Soros, you know, giving $3 million to Think Progress or the White House, you know, working with and getting money to, you know, Media Matters and stuff. And then they write articles about how evil we are, that we have sponsors and sell things. Oh, it's so terrible. So we can get up here and tell you, hey, read the vaccine insert. It says it can give you Guillain-Barre's, permanent narcolepsy, sterilize you, give you cancer, kill you, autoimmune disorders. Read the insert. Read the insert. Hey, see this news article? See all these news articles saying zero side effects with no citation? Here's the CDC site. Hundreds of pages. Just the glossary, 20 pages long, saying death, comas. Please, for heaven's sakes, read it. Lance Armstrong, please, let me get you some documents about cancer viruses and vaccines and why cancer is exploding. You could really help people. You tell that nut, I'd never talk to him, that conspiracy kook. What was that, about 3-4 years ago? I said, it's like 4 years ago. You know, that's how this stuff works. And now the system you love, Lance, is going to burn you to the ground. So get ready. You ask for it, you're going to get it. We'll be right back after this quick break, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. You know, I thought about this song, sending out an SOS message in a bottle. I think we should use it more. Because that's what we're doing here. When you try to wake somebody up, when you give them a copy of InfoWars magazine, when you send them a link to one of our films online, that's a message in a bottle. And I say fire and forget. Just start dropping the messages in a bottle and putting them out there. And people that all they can talk about is video games and sports, you know what? I'm not saying you're bad because you like it, but do something else some of the time. It's so sick, all these self-propelled stomachs wandering around in their football jerseys, acting tough and... Anyways, I'm ranting. Brian Toohey is on the line with us. You've been hearing my rant the last 15 minutes, Brian. What's your take on the points I've been making? And yeah, this is a short segment, long segment coming up. Boil down the fraud you've discovered as a sports fan, as a sports writer, and you know why you've basically turned against this unholy thing.
Well, the big thing is that I found out that professional sports can legally fix their own games. They can fix their own outcomes, and they would want to do this because obviously you'd give them more fan interest, you know, higher TV ratings, more ad revenue, and thus make them more profit. And that's the scary part. That's the part I think fans should really take away from all this, is that there's no law protecting them from the professional sports leagues. And like you point out, there's really no oversight on the professional sports leagues either. I mean, the media didn't do anything really against Lance Armstrong, and in a very real way, they still kind of protect him. And that's the same thing with professional sports. You look at the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they're kind of protected by the sports media because, in fact, the sports media funds them. I mean, the NFL makes nearly $6 billion a season from the likes of Fox, CBS, ESPN, and all these major networks. And NBA makes a couple million dollars a year, billion dollars a year from ESPN. So are they really going to investigate these sports leagues? Are they going to really investigate the athletes when they know exposing such corruption would actually hurt their own bottom line? So they're kind of all in this together, and I think they're in this together to make money. And in a sense, if they have to dupe the fans to do so, they will.
And that's what makes it a joke. It's a big gambling casino rigged to fleece idiots, and the public talks about the sports teams like it's them. Like, oh, Austin's so bummed out, we lost our 7 Tour de France's. You didn't lose anything, you morons. Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. The big thing is you hear this when you listen to sports radio. When fans call in, they'll say we as if they're part of the team. Well, you're not part of the team. You may be funding the team. You may be funding the league because you're giving them so much money and so much of your time. But the fact is that, you know, researchers and psychologists have studied this, and they've shown that people do get some benefit from watching professional sports because it does release some of their anger, which is probably good for the government. And it's also, you know, it's one of those things that makes up their personal identity. So when
it takes the tribalism that a man would use to be successful in business. You're supposed to be angry and warlike in business, not cheating, but focused. You're supposed to be focused in politics. You're supposed to be informed and know about all the ins and outs of government. Instead, you know all the ins and outs of the soap opera of, you know, what size jockstrap the quarterback wears.
Well, exactly. I'm sure there's guys, you know, in Chicago near where I live who could name the starting lineup of the 1984 Chicago Cubs, but they couldn't tell you who their alderman is, who their mayor is, who their senators are, any of that. I mean, I think even like last night you had the debates on, which were kind of a joke because you can't include a third party candidate at all in these because the Republicans, Democrats own the debates. But yet, how many people were instead watching, you know, Game 7 of the National League, you know, Championship Series? Or how many people are watching Monday Night Football as opposed to informing themselves maybe more about their own government?
Sure. And I mean, again, it's one thing, you know, to pop a beer, watch a baseball game, but it's the mental illness of getting more and more obsessed. And it's the parallel in history that as societies collapse, they always get more and more into sports. It's just a major red flag.
Well, and that's what the Romans did. I mean, they used the gladiator contest to distract the populace. And today, it's almost the same thing with, you know, the National Football League. They're almost their modern-day gladiators. They're in publicly funded stadiums. They get tax-exempt status for having these stadiums. They're actually, the NFL has just revealed, they're actually a non-profit organization. Not the teams, but the NFL, the core, the headquarters, are a non-profit organization. How is that possible when, like, their commissioner is making $10 million a year? You're getting $10 million a year to run a non-profit organization? Is that something wrong there?
Well, that's where all this is going. They teach Harvard courses for CEOs. Everything's going to be tax-free foundations, and they're going to run all the businesses and really make profits, but then none of us are going to be allowed to be in that. We all pay taxes to give it to them.
Well, exactly. And I think that's another thing that makes it kind of proves that the fact that these leagues can fix their own games where it may only benefit one team, but in effect benefits the entire league. The NFL shares 75% to 80% of all the revenue they take in. They take in nearly $10 billion a season, and most of that is distributed equally to all the teams. So if one team succeeds, if you have like Tim Tebow succeeding and millions of people are tuning in to watch Tebow and they're buying Tebow jerseys, well, that's not just profiting one team, it's profiting them all.
Well, it's just sad to see men, especially who don't have any life, anything they've conquered, any destiny. They're just these empty men who act tough all day and watch sports and think it's manly to know all these details. Meanwhile, their kids' water they're drinking has a chemical weapon in it, and I have the White House science czar saying it's to hurt your child, and they don't care. They beat their kids' brains out for sports.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
That's right, and I am he. You know, the TSA is now on highways all over the country doing their new handshake that means, well, in your pants, all part of living in a free country. And Adan Salazar was just down the street at Cabo Bob's here in Austin, Texas, and there were loving Homeland Security trucks, Transportation Security Administration, in their little blue uniforms. They're here to run our lives. Enjoy. So I guess the checkpoints they have in Dallas and Houston and San Antonio, I get to see my little friends. I saw an ABC News article about the massive waves of theft by TSA. And then I was reading about police all over the country are now taking cash out of people's wallets that's even legal. Even if it's in the bank withdrawal pack with the receipt, they're taking it. Thousands of dollars. And that's what the new, there aren't even regulations. Government's just saying, we're not letting you take after-tax money out of the country. No, you can't leave the U.S. Your money stays here. And now they're saying they're not going to issue passports to most Americans. You're going to stay here, and we're going to rape you. Now go watch a football game and shut up. Shut up. Shut up and take it, scum. It's freedom. That drone's got a weapon system if you don't lick the boots of it. Now let's go back to Brian Toohey, author of The Fix Is In, The Showbiz Manipulations of the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, NASCAR, you name it. And again, you know about fixing and boxing, all of it. I want to ask him what he, from his research in the FBI files, what the most fixed stuff is, the numbers of billions we're talking about here, and the societally, this is obviously getting worse. Where is it going? Like forced sports viewing? I mean, how bad will the cult of this situation get?
Well, which question do you want me to answer first?
You got the floor. Break it down. I mean, you know, your greatest hits of the loving fraud that all the schmucks and suckers and people love to toady around and be ripped off by the mafia that runs sports.
Well, with the FBI files, for example, that I have, there's over 400 of them, and they cover investigations of violations of the Sports Bribery Act, which was passed in 1964 and basically makes it illegal for someone to pay someone else to fix the outcome of a game. And the files cover everything from horse racing to boxing to college football, college basketball, the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball. And the scary thing is in 1999, which was the last time anybody did any sort of estimate on how much money is gambled illegally in the United States right now on sports, they estimated anywhere from $80 billion to $380 billion is wagered illegally each year on professional sports. Now, this is nearly, even the low estimate, the conservative estimate of $80 billion is nearly four times the amount of money the NFL, NBA, National Hockey League, and Major League Baseball make combined. They made about $25 billion last year. Well, professional sports gamblers are betting more than that, maybe four times as much as that every year. So what's not to say that that money does not influence the outcome of the sports that we are watching? Because no one's monitoring for that money. No one's looking out for fixed games. The major media doesn't believe fixed games can happen, so they're not looking out for it. The sports leagues don't want to admit that it's possible that a game can be fixed, so they're completely ignoring it, even though they have their own security divisions, which are literally staffed with former members of the FBI, CIA, DEA, Secret Service, and local law enforcement. They don't reveal anything to, you know, actual law enforcement in terms of what's going on within their league. So the leagues aren't looking out for it. Sports gamblers are more apt to be the ones fixing the games because they're associated a lot of times with organized crime who run the illegal underground.
And you've also got massive gambling by the players, the refs, all of them. I mean, look at Pete Rose. This is well known.
Well, exactly. And with Pete Rose, and the thing that people a lot of times, they give Pete Rose the benefit of the doubt because he was supposedly gambling on himself. Well, Pete wasn't gambling on 162 games that he played in for him on himself. A lot of times he was not betting on himself, which tipped off the other gamblers he was working with and the bookmakers that said, hey, maybe we should be betting against Pete because he doesn't even think he's going to win tonight. So, I mean, there's even so much gambling going on by the players, like you say, the referees, the coaches. No one's monitoring all this.
And men also seem to think it's so cool to gamble and it's so trendy. I mean, it's all a big joke. I mean, it's one thing if you go play poker with your buddies and bet a few dollars here and there. But I mean, this whole thing of this whole culture of gambling, I mean, it's literally like begging to be a loser, begging to be a schmuck.
Well, yeah, most gamblers do not win. And it's funny because you only have to win about 56% of your bets to be successful. But most people can't do that. The professionals who do it, who can do it, literally work 70 to 80 hours a week, and they get what they call inside information, stuff that no one else gets about these games, about these athletes, because that's one of the things is people don't quite understand. is that you think that your favorite athlete maybe wants to give 100% in every game. Well, that's not true. You don't know if he was out drinking the night before, if he, you know, is getting a divorce. You don't know what is going on in his private life. So you don't know what's really mentally going on.
I mean, look at the guys with the pit bulls and everything. I mean, it's just people think trashiness is cool nowadays. And so there's just a bottomless to it. I mean, looking at this from the outside, reading your book, undoubtedly things are getting worse quickly. How far will it go?
Well, if you look around the world, and that's a lot of thing American sports fans don't do, is if you look to soccer, you look to tennis, cricket, there's matches being fixed constantly in countries all over this world by organized crime, by gamblers. Now, supposedly that's never touched our shores, but I don't believe that's the case. I believe it's going on now. It's just the fact is no one's looking for it. I mean, I'm about the only person in America, unfortunately, who's looking into this. The ESPNs, the Sports Illustrateds of the world, they just ignore this as if it's not happening because they're being dictated to by the links that they find.
Remember 6, 7, 8 years ago, we heard this Lance Armstrong stuff and we're told we were conspiracy theorists. Not being a conspiracy theorist just means you're totally gullible and walk around in dark parking lots at night begging people to rob you. I mean, being a conspiracy theorist means you just don't believe what known liars tell you over and over again. It's like J. Edgar Hoover testified in the early 50s before Congress and said there was no such thing as organized crime or La Cosa Nostra. And then people still think organized crime is only Italian, and that's a tiny part of it. It just shows the total naivete.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I've been called the number one sports conspiracy theorist in America, and that's because I don't trust the leagues. I'm skeptical of the leagues, and that's the big thing I don't get with conspiracy theorists. I mean, why am I not the skeptic? Why are the skeptics the one who always attack the conspiracy theorists or the supposed conspiracy?
Well, I mean, they want to keep the public sheep-like and gullible. I mean,
but they're not the skeptics. That's the funny part. They're the ones who are just towing the line. The skeptics are the ones questioning, why is the line there? Why is this the way it is? I mean, and that's what I'm doing. I'm questioning the major sports leagues and saying they're not telling the fans the entire truth of it.
Explain to people the court rulings where the NFL, all of it, this is for entertainment purposes only. They say that. Break that down for people.
Well, the biggest thing, it came out of the Spygate scandal, which happened between the New England Patriots and a Jets fan. He sued the Patriots over this whole Spygate incident, which took place a few years back when those Patriots were videotaping the other team's coaching signals. And it went all the way to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. And then the judge who ruled on the case said, your ticket, when you buy the ticket to a football game, basketball game, what have you, it even says on the tickets for entertainment purposes only, but your ticket only entitles you to see a football game, for example. It doesn't mean it has to be played by any certain rules, that any certain players have to appear, that those rules have to be followed, that a team can't cheat. It basically, the NFL provides you with a football game, they fulfilled their under the contract. So you couldn't even go after like the league for fraud for fixing games because the courts have already ruled that it's not fraud. It's just an entertainment product. You consume it, and that's the end of the story.
What do you think about the whole Lance Armstrong thing? You heard my rant, but and I followed the case a little bit just because it deals with the fact that they like to burn the minion when it turns out from the witnesses that Armstrong and others were failing, but people up the chain were fixing it for him.
Well, and the scary thing to me is that he's not alone. I mean, they know cycling has been, you know, rampant with performance-enhancing drugs, but you know what? So are the NFL, so is the NBA, the NHL, all the major sports leagues are. And the thing is, the major leagues' drug testing programs really are just PR campaigns. They don't care if the athletes are doing drugs. They don't care if they're doing cocaine or if they're doing steroids or what have you, as long as they perform, as long as they put on a show. And don't forget, performance-enhancing drugs are going to actually improve the show that they're putting on. The leagues are good with it. They just have to have these programs in place so they can reassure the fans, oh, everything's good, everything's clean, don't worry about it, we got it taken care of. But I don't think that's the case. I think they know. In fact, I had a former, or actually say a current member of the Football Writers of America tell me on his radio program that at least 75% of the NFL, the players are doing HGH, human growth hormone. But at the time, the league wasn't testing for it, so it was free for them to do so, and the league knew it, and they didn't care.
And again, there's this idea of, well, everybody's corrupt, we're just going to do it. Once you get in that space, then the sky's the limit. Once you just give in to corruption completely, then it takes over society, points its finger at you and says, you're the extremist, you're the conspiracy theorist, you're the bad guy. And that's what we've now reached, not just in this, but in all the different corruption, where the Homeland Security says the people exposing the bad, we're the terrorists now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'm on a government watch list for the FBI files that I've requested just because they deal with professional sports. I mean, again, if the government is to a certain extent, funding professional sports for the reasons you and I kind of think they are, in terms of, you know, controlling the populace and making them distracted, then they're watching what I'm doing. And I know the leagues are watching what I'm doing as well, because they're afraid I'm going to expose the fact that, you know, the emperor has no clothes on, that these games can be corrupted and are being corrupted, and no one's looking out for.
Well, that's the thing. It's inherently corrupt. It's inherently a joke. It's inherently bad. It's totally sick, and it's been sold as healthy and good. It's a dirty joke. And I think everybody should just boycott professional sports. If you want to support your local teams, college has even gotten corrupt, you know, your high school team, whatever. If your kids are in it or you're in the sports, I think it's healthy and great. But this whole narcissism, this obsession with it, all of it has gotten really nasty.
Well, yeah, because you got to remember, they don't put the games on just for fun. I mean, they put on college games, and they put on the professional games to sell you things. They put it on for advertising. That's why it exists. And one of the reasons why it's so highly sought after by the networks is because it's really one of the few things that still goes on live that people have to watch while it's going on if they want to know the results. Not many people record sporting events to watch them later. They have to watch them now. They have to know what's going on now, as opposed to all the other TV.
Yeah, it's there to waste your time. How much, because I mean, I see numbers of $5 billion in the last few years on sports stadiums. How much are taxpayers fitting the bill for all these disgusting parasitic sports teams?
I couldn't tell you an exact number, but it's interesting to note that, you know, many economists who have studied the impact of these stadiums on cities have said that sports stadiums do absolutely nothing for a city's economy. I mean, as soon as, like, the Colts left Baltimore, you know, the city of Baltimore didn't fall apart. In fact, it actually stepped up. It got better because that entertainment money that was being spent on the Colts instead went to other local things, local theater, local music, and that sort of thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It doesn't really help a city to have a major league sports team. It just is. It's kind of a mental thing. It's people want it. They want to be able to identify with it for whatever reason.
No, that's their ego. That's their accomplishment, is to go watch a bunch of drug addicts and have TSA-trained goons grope their family and then be overcharged and yelled at and tasered for no reason. And they bring a little girl in Michigan, they order a lemonade, they bring an alcoholic lemonade, she doesn't even drink it, but they still arrest the dad and CPS the kid. You're just asking to be abused in a giant, disgusting mafia operation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a scary thing what's going on with professional sports today, because there is so much money involved, and there's so much money on the line for these people that they don't want to let it go. And that's why I think they're willing to manipulate the outcome of their own games, because they have to keep increasing things. They have to keep upping the stakes, upping the ante, making more people watch, almost compelling more people to watch. And that's why I don't think they can just leave it up to chance. I mean, I ask people, would you leave a multi-billion-dollar industry up to chance, especially when you don't have to? Because, I mean, if you took, like, McDonald's, for example, and McDonald's had the ability to manipulate and control the taste of their food while you consumed it to make it more appealing to you, they would do that. Well, professional sports leagues can do the exact same thing. They can alter the game. They can manipulate the game while you're consuming it, while you're watching it, and make it better, make it more enjoyable. And so why do people think they don't do that?
No, I mean, it's all ridiculous. I want to go to some phone calls. Everybody should get this book and give it to your sports zombie friends. The fix is in InfoWarsStore.com. Let's go to Chris in Florida. Chris, you're on the air for a question for our guest. Go ahead. Thank you.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Brian. When I was younger, I went and I saw the Bulls at the hotel before the game, because I was a huge fan, and I was real innocent, and I wanted to meet the players, and I actually saw some escorts getting sent up to the rooms, and I saw some of the players walking with the girls a few feet behind them, and you know, I innocently was trying to ask for autographs and snap pictures, so I have these pictures of them with the girls, so I'm not just, you know, rumoring this. And, you know, a lot of my illusions were shattered after that. And
obviously prostitution is ubiquitous in sports, yeah.
But the question I wanted to ask, Brian,
go ahead.
Was, you know, like with the whole Kobe Bryant thing and in Colorado, and then how they just want to let him go back and play. Do you think that they, like, kind of, like, send people to set these guys up so they can tell?
Oh, absolutely. Brian, talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. I have a video that I got actually from the FBI through the Freedom of Information Act. And it was a video they used to show to the players to warn them about being corrupted and getting, you know, sucked into, you know, game fixing schemes. And one of the things they mentioned was the fact that these guys will use women to lure these guys into these plots. So, I mean, it's very easy to use you know, women use prostitutes to get them.
And they say, we're going to tell your wives the same way they get politicians. Have you put that video out yet, brother?
No, I haven't. I just recently got it.
Hey, you ought to, if you want to, I would love to have you on and premiere that and get it out as a big story. I'm sure you can do it somewhere else, but that, those training videos, I got to see that. That would be dynamite. Because here they are saying there's no fixing, but they're showing them videos going, here's how you get set up.
Well, that's the really interesting part of it is because they're talking about things that's never come out in the public. But they're obviously showing, and it's only meant to be shown to the athletes.
Hey, listen, I wouldn't sit on that too long. I get that out quick.
No, I plan on doing something with it very soon because it is. It's really interesting because people don't think games have been fixed, and yet they're talking openly about games that have been fixed.
No, that is bombshell that you got that. Okay, caller, I think that answers your question. Thank you, sir. Let's talk to Eddie in Wisconsin. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Edie.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I had a couple of comments. One kind of went back to your earlier discussion about candidates and the debates and squandering power, and the other has to do with the sports situation. I'll go with the sports one first. And that is, I guess I'm wondering exactly what the proof is as far as it being fixed. And then the other thing I was wondering about for quite a while, there was a big association in commercials and things like that, combining sort of a gang lifestyle with sports. And then we ended up with all these gangs, you know, getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, no, they're selling that to ruin the kids. They're piggybacking destructive. I've talked to high-level people that were there with MTV when they said in the mid-90s, we're going to push gangster rap to, you know, to wreck people. That's how this works. They want a dumbed-down culture so the kids act like gang members and the cops are trying to put them in prison. Can you comment on that, Brian?
Well, I'll go back to what she asked me about the proof of this. And the proof, the hard part with proof is the FBI investigated, like I said, I have over 400 files of them investigating fixed games and fixed horse races and boxing matches. And they had an extremely hard time proving these things because you can watch the game film of a particular game and you can't tell if a quarterback threw an interception, for example, on purpose or if he just threw an interception. I mean, that's the way things go. These things are very hard to prove because there is no concrete evidence of them. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
I mean, there are a lot of documented cases. They always say it was an individual player did it for themselves. But the point is they show them training videos saying don't get set up to fix games. It's been proven fixed all over the world. We're just the most naive people on the planet.
I agree with you.
Ma'am, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I had one more comment, which was when you were talking about candidates with squandering power. I was thinking that a lot of the conservative, you know, programs like this are really good. Why aren't we using our power to promote the Constitution?
Stay there. Some of the biggest problems facing our society are the video game heads, the sports heads. People really aren't living. They're just watching a television. They're watching a game. And then it's all got messages that are destructive on purpose. Because we have a criminal elite running the architecture of the world right now. And they see you as dumb animals, so they're putting out propaganda to make you become what they say you are. And, you know, they sell that sports is so wholesome and good. It's not. Professional sports is sick. And it's empty. And it's not fulfilling anybody. And it's riddled with fraud and the TSA groping you and troops of the Kentucky Derby searching people. All of it is just used to sell a fraud. It's like the Running Man. We're going to take a few more calls here. We were talking to a caller in Wisconsin, and she was bringing up points. What was your point about the Constitution, ma'am?
I was just going to say, it's going back to your earlier conversation about the candidates. All of us, you know, so many of us feel very upset by only being given the choice of Romney or Obama. And what I'm wondering at this point, you're talking about squandering power. And I think all these, you know, I listen to Sons of Liberty Radio and different programs. And I guess what I'm wondering is, why aren't we using our platform? I mean, MoveOn.org has certainly done enough of it to promote the Constitution Party candidate, Virgil Good, because he is on, I think, just about every state's ballot now. And to me, it's a better choice than anything
else. Sure, sure. How they get us is the lesser of two evils, and I appreciate your call. where just like the two parties are subsidized, just like sports is subsidized, they make it such a big spectacle that then the third party is such a sideshow. People go, well, there's not much difference, but, you know, I like Romney or I like Obama. Do you have any comments with sports analogies tied into politics here, Brian?
Well, I think one of the interesting things is one of the other things I studied is continuity government programs and national emergencies. I actually wrote a book on it. I haven't had published yet. And, they, you know, people say, well, that's impossible. You know, the government can't round you up and that sort of thing. Well, they can. They just haven't done it yet. They could do it tomorrow. And it's the same with, you know, professional sports. You know, people don't think a game can be fixed, but you know what? It could be fixed this Sunday. It could be fixed tomorrow. It can happen. It's just a question of whether they will do it and how often they do it. But there's things out there that can be done by these leagues and that can be done by our government that people just don't want to believe is possible.
It's funny you raise that. NCOG, sports stadiums are where they first round everybody up and then process who goes to a camp, who goes to forced labor. That's all on record. The sports stadiums are actually the giant government takeover centers.
Well, and they're supposed to be able to, if your stadium is funded by public money, they're supposed to even house the indigent, like when they're not playing games. But I mean, you know, are they going to allow, you know, a bunch of homeless people to wander into like Soldier Field in Chicago when they spent, you know, $500 million renovating it just to take care of them? I don't think so. But yeah, you're right. They can. They'll use those places when and if they need to.
Oh, you saw what happened at the Superdome. They wouldn't let people walk out of New Orleans. They made them go there, and then the cops wouldn't go protect people. And the troops sat there for 6-7 days on giant piles of food and water and were ordered, don't help anyone, just to see what would happen.
Yeah. And then they destroyed the Superdome, the inside of the Superdome, and then public money had to be spent to, you know, re-bring it back to a state where they could play a football game. And then the NFL took all the credit for bringing back New Orleans, which I just don't believe.
And now government is going to run healthcare the way they've run everything else. It is going to be a nightmare. It's been a nightmare everywhere else government runs things. I'm going to do 5 more minutes with you and take a few more calls. Sure. From Courtney. Edie, thank you for your call. Those were good questions. And a few others. Here on the other side. But the book is The Fix is In, The Showbiz Manipulation of Major Sports. Brian Toohey is our guest. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. Stop being naive. That's what lets the criminals take over and rule us.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Our guest, a few more phone calls. He wrote The Fix is In. And Brian, get in touch with us if you'd like to come on the nightly news or something and play excerpts of that of the FBI training video for professional athletes of how to not get set up by sex operatives to then fix games. Because, you know, I went right to the heart of the matter, you noticed. I mean, I get what you're saying. This is proving that they know that this is going on.
Oh, exactly. And that's the thing that's so shocking about this video is they say, you know, the NFL has never had a game fixed ever in its 90-year history. Well, you know what? In this video, it seems to indicate that that's a complete and utter lie.
Well, of course there's been players or refs or people that have tried to throw in things when there's billions every year being embedded just on the NFL alone. Well, how much is it every year on the NFL? It's some giant number.
Well, they say anywhere from $1 to $4 billion a week on NFL games alone. But again, I said it's $80 to $380 billion a year on illegal sports gambling. And you remember, that's all really going to organized crime.
It's incredible. You know, if I go cash a $1,000 check, the bank acts like I'm Al-Qaeda or Al Capone. Meanwhile, the big mega banks on record just run the drug aircraft, ship their money out. The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday, middle class, you know, wealthy people that have a few million dollars trying to move to Switzerland with post-tax money. The government says you can't leave. There's no law. They just won't let you leave because the banks run America and they don't want that money leaving. I mean, this is getting creepy, man, when you can't even get out of this country.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to a caller here. I want to talk to you after the here in the break. Courtney in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Alex, and also hi, Brian. I just wanted to thank both of you, and especially Alex, for standing up for the truth, even at times when you had to stand alone, and also being such a strong influence on Twitter. I have actually two questions. The first question, hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. is regarding with everything that's going on, because it's all tied together, right? Sports, just like politics, you know, it's to control the people. And regarding the way that especially Obama was being mockingly yesterday about technology and new different things, are you worried that because everything is in the digital age and moving towards an even more digital age, companies like Verochip and... for instance, on your iPad and everything is with touch now, how that's going to affect the sports industry in regards to this will become some sort of thing that will be obligated in order to enjoy or not to enjoy, I don't personally enjoy it, but for the people who are kind of hooked at this moment, they're going to have to take
they're going to have to thumbprint and stuff, just like Verochip makes you get chips to go in these Baja Beach clubs. Yes, they're going to force more and more police state stuff as a beta test on the sports zombies, knowing the sports addicts will do anything, including feed their children into meat grinders, probably if they told them to. Comments on that, Brian?
Well, I think you're right. I think in a lot of ways that they are, just like you say, they're just trying to suck more and more people into this sports thing, and now they're bringing in more sports. They're bringing in like the known corrupt sports of soccer, especially like in Italy, they're feeding those broadcasts live into American homes now, even though they know that those games have been outright fixed. I mean, it's public knowledge in Italy, but here no one knows, but they'll keep showing them here because it's getting more and more people to watch sports.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like well known that Don King has fixed matches. I mean, the guys have, you know, been arrested for murder and stuff. But, I mean, people kind of figured that out about professional boxing. It's not as big as it used to be. Does the whole spectacle of sports endanger itself as more of the corruption comes out?
No, I don't think so, because you can look at professional wrestling, which, you know, many people know is scripted and basically fixed.
No.
And
you're not a conspiracy theorist, are you? It's real.
Oh, well, but you get people who, you know, pay hundreds of dollars for these pay-per-view events and big tickets to go see these things. Well, you know, they don't care.
Oh, I know. I know lots of adults that say it's real.
Oh, yeah. But you look at mixed martial arts now and the UFC, it's very comparable to boxing. And we know boxing's been fixed. I mean, look at the picture behind me. I mean, it goes back, you know, 120 years that we know boxing has been fixed. But, you know, people don't think the UFC can be fixed. Are you crazy? Of course you could fix a match in there. I mean, it's very easy. You need one guy, and it's done.
Amazing. The book, The Fix Is In. The Fix Is In on so many fronts. Wake up, stop being naive, and we can turn this around. Big retransmission coming up.